Oh shit.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
It's sexy too because it's English.
Yeah, who do you know that person?
No, she's not even real. She's a robot.
What is?
But I just think of her as some dirty bitch in England.
Yeah.
With weird teeth. Dedicated to working for me.
Crooked feet.
Yeah. No. Nice feet.
She does.
She's hot.
Oh, she is.
She's
but weird teeth though.
I don't mind it. A little space here and there.
Yeah,
it makes you work harder.
Space is fine. It's the discoloration I can't do.
I'm not down with gray.
Yeah, not even gray. But you know how sometimes they have like six different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like bottle rot. When did you stop sucking on your Banky hooker? Ladies and gentlemen, Bobby Lee has joined us.
Oh,
yes, finally.
I mean, your army. You have an army out there.
Dude, not mine, man.
Well, yeah,
they have their own.
But they
speaking of army, before we get started, we have to do business. We are sponsored by the Fleshlight. If you go to fleshlight.com or if you go to joerogan.net, there's a link for the Fleshlight. Click on it and enter in the code name Rogan. You get 15% off.
Have you ever used one of those?
I have one.
The thing is those beads.
Have you seen the blue one?
The beads.
The Avatar one?
No, Fleshlight, it looks like a flashlight, right?
Right.
And you stick the thing inside it, right?
That one.
I have that. I have these little beads that you turn on.
You stick your balls in it.
I know you stick your. I know, but there's these beads on mine that you put in and it vibrates. It's three beads and goes on the side. If you open that up, you can put beads inside. But the beads only last 5 minutes, right? And I take 10 minutes to do it.
So the last 5 minutes you're just holding your breath.
No, I have a whole system in the side. I have all these batteries.
Well, why don't you just have two, and then you have two Fleshlights, and so you have one on standby.
Because cleaning them is a half an hour thing.
Half an hour? Do you use a toothbrush?
No. I use hot oil.
You use hot oil to clean them?
No.
Gulf?
No. No, I microwave oil for 5 seconds.
And you get it warm.
You can't do it too hot. I did it once, and I scalded my thighs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it burns. But, you put the oil in it.
Right.
Yeah, and then you put the beads in it. It vibrates. It's so good. It feels so good.
I've never heard of it.
It's like making love to an android, and then which is my fantasy dream. And then the beads run out of energy.
So only 5 minutes for these whack ass beads.
Yeah,
huh?
And brand new. You have to put three of those flat. You know the, what do you got? The watch batteries, the little tiny ones. In a
what?
Three
yeah, so
tiny
you're
watch
talking about
batteries.
$30 a pop when you're doing it.
Wow.
Where do you get these beads? I've never even heard of these
open
beads.
That open that up. I bet you there's bead slots.
No.
Yeah.
Slots?
Take the
sure you're not talking about a competitor.
No, that's it. See, okay, now go. No.
You tell me what the slots are.
On mine, I have three slots here.
Oh, right? Yours is designed for it specifically. It is
a flashlight.
But it's a different one.
It's a different one. You stick in there and go.
Oh, maybe like you got a vibrator model or something or vibrator.
Oh,
compatible.
Yes, they do have the vibrator models. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, I have that one.
Yeah.
But it's the same. It looks exactly the same.
It's a very, this is a controversial thing, man. I do a whole series of, I do a whole bit about it on stage, but this really is controversy.
Why?
Because people didn't want me getting sponsored by a fake vagina.
Why?
Like, somehow or another, it's like bad for your reputation.
Does it really take you 10 minutes to come?
Yeah, because.
Now, when you have regular sex, does it take you 10 minutes?
No.
It takes you longer?
Can I say something? Can I say something to you?
Sure.
I'm being very specific on my porn. The thing is that I need the interview. Okay, you know the interview?
The interview
where the girl sits down. Where you from?
Where you from? I'm from Ohio. You know what I mean? You know how much porn have you done? Not that much. This is my second time. Or first.
Right.
And I need to sense a little fear. In her voice, right? And then check it out. You know the first time when they do it? The first timers? When the penis goes in the vagina, I have to look at their eyes. In the eyes, they have to question their decision.
That's how you get excited?
Yeah. You know how, like, when the penis goes in, they have to go, Mom.
Do you associate that with any past sexual experiences where you see the look in the girl's eyes? She's like, what the fuck is Bobby Lee doing inside me?
And then you get excited, like, tricked him again, Josie.
No. I think what it is this. I think that my penis, it's not even an ethnic thing, but my penis is abnormally small.
Really?
I don't care about it because, you know what I mean? I'm rapid.
Like, how small?
It's just small.
Like,
and
thumb?
No, yeah, it's thick. It's thicker than that.
All right.
But the thing is that, and girls, you know, they like my bubbly personality. I'm like a dreamweaver, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean?
You're fun.
I'm a cute, you know what I mean? I tickle, you know what I mean?
Right.
I giggle.
It's fun to be around.
Yeah, I giggle.
You bring a party.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden this party's fucking your mouth. You're like, hey.
Yeah, and when I'm with a girl, I look in their eyes, and I've never had the sensation of like, them going, oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's too big.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I have a friend of mine who had that same problem. Yeah. And so what he started doing was getting, he got a strap on. He got this crazy thing that covers his dick. And it was like his dick would go on and then this like big fake dick would go over his dick.
Oh.
And we were talking to him about it. We were like, well, what's up? Like, what are you doing that for? Mm-hmm. He goes, because just once I want to see a girl like have a hard time taking it.
Yes.
They can always take it so easy.
Yeah.
I'm never hurting them. That's it.
So are you really big into anal?
No, I don't do that.
You think you would be, though, because that most girls, even with your small dick, would
no,
like...
No. Because for me, it's like I want them to have pleasure, too.
Well, some girls like it.
I know a girl that likes anal better than regular sex. She just wants anal all the time.
There are girls, and they're called broken.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that also light your house on fire, by the way.
But I also have this. I also imagine if you do an anal and you don't have a condom on, that the poop goes into the hole.
It does.
And I don't want. I don't need that in my life.
We talked about a terrible scene. Did we talk about that on the podcast? The naughty show thing.
Yeah. We did it last time. But poop snakes are actually cool. Have you had a
what?
When you
shut up?
What's a poop snake?
Stop
when
it.
You piss. What? After anal sex, there's a little poop snake coming out.
I don't need that in my life.
You should try it.
He's just talking nonsense. He's being silly. Okay. He does this all the time. You can't take him seriously.
You've never had a poop snake, be honest.
Never. No, I've had poop smell, though, and that was worse.
There's a girl I was having sex with a long time ago. Back when I was 21, I lost my boner because I was banging her doggy style, and I saw poop around her butthole. I realized that she didn't really wipe that good. Then I started smelling it because the funk of the sex and the sweat.
Yeah. And do you wet nap it? Do you ever do that?
My butt? Yeah.
Yeah, I wet nap my butt.
Oh, baby naps.
You know what? And that's respect.
You can't flush those.
That's respect, right?
You cannot flush those.
What?
You gotta wipe yourself first, and then you gotta get the baby wipes, and then you gotta throw the baby wipes away, which is kind of gross.
Why can't you flush baby wipes?
Well, if you live in an apartment, go flush away. Yeah. But if you live in a house, eventually they're gonna get clogged up, and you're gonna have to have a group of dudes come in your backyard and find this pipe stuffed full of your shit rags.
Are you sure you weren't using
that's
unbreakables?
What happened with me. No, bro, I'm used flushable baby wipes.
The flushable ones, like,
they
dissolve.
Never break. They don't. That's the thing. They pretend they do. They don't really. They become like goo. They don't dissolve like toilet paper.
Goo.
And they get tied up on things. Like if you have, like in my area, we have issues with, because we're kind of rural, we have issues with trees growing into your pipes. You know, it's an issue. Like, there's so many trees out here. The trees will like grow through like a crack in the pipe, and then one of them it became like a goddamn tree. I mean, I posted pictures of it on Twitter. It's so ridiculous. Nobody even fucking believes it. My toilet was clogged. I couldn't figure out what was going on with it, so I had these plumbers come out.
Yeah.
They pulled a fucking 8-foot tree out of my toilet.
Oh my god!
Maybe not 8 foot. How big was it? At least 5 feet.
Yeah, like 5 feet. It was pretty long.
It was like your height.
It looked like a
like
Muppet.
No bullshit.
It looked like a Muppet, like a swamp thing.
It looked like
Muppet.
Some sort of an animal, like like somebody flushed some wood rat.
Are you worried that if they open up the pipe, there's stuff with wet naps? But can't you just say it's my children's?
No, it's mine. I don't give. I'll fucking own it. I'm not gonna throw my kids under the bus.
All right. That's ridiculous.
You're not supposed to be the diaper wipes. You definitely don't flush because they're really thick and coarse. Right. I mean, not coarse, but strong. They would not break up, definitely. But flushable baby wipes, those bitches don't break up either. The guy told me, no, they say they break up. People say, because I pulled them out of people's pipes all the time. So they had to like dig a hole. But it was really, the issue more or less was that there was a root
tree.
That was blocking part of the area. Not as bad as the one that was in the toilet. The one that was in the toilet was fucking ridiculous. I'll find it and I'll repost that shit on Twitter because it's just so silly. It doesn't even make sense. It's so silly. It really didn't look real. Like, I couldn't believe it. And that was after I'd moved to Colorado. So I left the house for a couple months and nobody was flushing.
Yeah, I just wish I can, like, masturbating lasted longer for me, because to me it's just like I seriously have to focus on slowing it down.
Why not just get it done? What are you trying to do there, fella?
No, that's with sex and everything. I just
with masturbation though, dog, isn't that like just trying to get it over with?
Yeah, but I like to enjoy it. You know?
Do you really?
I mean, it feels good when you're doing it, right? So why not have it go for like 10 minutes?
Yeah. Well, the other day I was in New York, I tried to masturbate, you know, to porn on the internet. I couldn't finish.
Right.
So then, like, after about an hour, I finished half hard, and you always feel like a failure because it's like my orgasm was like 50%. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there with like, you know, my hand, like with this marshmallow in my hand. You know what I mean? Just sitting there naked, sweating. You know, going, I failed at that.
You know what I mean?
I couldn't even finish that off.
Wow.
I do feel you.
Wow. So, me and Bobby were talking about how when we stay at hotels, we hate when the maid comes
in. Don't come in my room.
Don't ever come to my room. And I didn't tell you that, but I did a Spider-Man at the last hotel we were at, and it must have hit the lamp because it started smoking.
What are you talking about?
Where I do Spider-Man in a hotel, where I throw...
Brian, people are listening.
Well, we've talked about Spider-Man
before. No one listens every... I don't know what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah. When I masturbate
all these other people...
When I masturbate in hotels, yeah. I'm like, fuck this, I'm in this hotel.
Right.
And I just like throw the sperm at the wall like Spider-Man.
All right.
Or I throw it across the room.
And it still connects to your wrist?
No, it doesn't connect to my wrist.
And you can swing through the room?
No, but no. But
that's so disrespectful. Yeah. Because some poor Mexican lady has to clean. That's so. I'm so mad.
It's
so rude.
It's clear. They don't clean.
Yeah, but it dries and then flakes and it. You know, you don't know what
it's
it is.
It's pretty obvious, dude.
But you know that they think it's either mucus or you know what I mean
or a load.
Look, a load. Yeah,
I can't even see where it goes. And once I hit a picture frame, and I was like, oh, I better clean that.
So disrespectful.
Once you hit a picture frame.
Or like a picture on the wall.
Yeah,
and I can tell.
You got issues. Masturbate and trying to enjoy yourself. When I masturbate, it's for maintenance. Just get it over with. Done. Yeah.
I don't enjoy it.
And
then
moving on.
It's even better. A towel, and she'll definitely touch the towels.
The problem with getting into masturbating is then you're like Ari had that joke about like having a bunch of windows open, trying to figure out what to jerk off to. Mm-hmm. You can get weird and obsessed. You can get kind of
You
get a little caught up in it. You know, there's some dudes who they get so caught up in porn, it becomes like a legit addiction. Where like they'll have a conversation with someone and they just can't wait to go away to their computer real quick and just look at porn videos.
I have to pay for my porn though.
Really?
Why? I can't do grainy. It has to be high def.
Oh,
really?
You have to be able to see the freckles.
You're the last guy. Last guy buying porn.
Yeah, yeah. I really am. I need to
talk about a business that just got gutted.
I know.
I mean, that used to be a multimillionaire business. I mean, there was some billion-dollar business, right? There was so many people in my neighborhood that were the porn producers. They'd be driving around in Ferraris, living a good life. And I'd be like, look at this wild-ass rebel just filming, fucking, and making $1 billion.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a weird thing, you know? He'd be like a curiosity in the community, you know? Like all these mommies would look at him. That's the porn guy. That's where the porn guy lives, the porn guy. But now those guys aren't making shit. That's done. Done, yeah. Son. See ya. If you're lucky, you can get by now.
And if you're lucky, you get Charlie Sheen.
Well, look at these hookers. These hookers can't stop talking about Charlie Sheen.
They're
doing interviews. I heard someone on Stern this morning. There's fucking Good Morning America interviewed one of the girls that fucked Charlie Sheen. Way to go, Good Morning America, you whores. Congratulations. You are now Us Magazine.
And he allows you in his house.
Yeah.
Gives you free cocaine.
Of course.
You get to watch, movies that haven't even come out yet on DVD. You want to watch True Grit? Oh, that's out in the theaters. Well, I have it.
Yeah.
Right? They're doing cool.
You want to watch Avatar 2? I've got a rough cut.
Yeah. They even made that thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then they disrespect him by, ratting him out.
Of course. Yeah. They're not his friends. Could you imagine if that was your friend? Imagine if a dude came over your house. Forget about sex. Just a dude came over your house and had, hey, we all watched fucking TV at Bobby Lee's house. He got nutty. He takes his pants off, runs through. And all of a sudden, this dude is on, the radio on Monday, and he's telling the whole story about what he did hanging out at your house when you got crazy. But like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
You're like, that guy will never hang out in my house again. Yeah. Fuck this idiot.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being the little kid from 2 and a Half Men, how much tail Charlie throws his way? Hey, I got this daughter, this girl I fuck.
Kid's like 12. Shut up.
And also that kid.
Is he?
Yeah. And
I think he's old now.
And also that kid is so mad probably because the show could get canceled.
Oh, right.
Yeah. They could all lose.
Lose millions.
They're trying to say all sorts of shit. Like, oh, his appendix broke. He had a hernia.
That kid's pissed, bro.
Well, they all are. It's the biggest show in television. And by the way, this is only helping it.
Yeah.
It's only helping it. People are not going to stop. Charlie Sheen is fucking, for whatever reason, man, he's grandfathered in, all right? Charlie Sheen ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
He could do coke all day. Yeah. He could bang hookers. He could threaten his wife with a knife. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he's
fucking
smiling on camera on Monday.
I like how the L.A. police won't even do any, investigations to these alleged cocaine briefcase charges. I was like, wait a second. If somebody has a briefcase of cocaine, maybe you should find out what the fuck.
No.
That was Ohio. They would.
First of all, it's all hearsay. Okay, you can't take this hooker's word for it. Okay, or porn star, whoever's saying. First of all, there's that. And then second of all, what are you going to do? You're going to question him about whether or not he had cocaine for real, and he's going to say no, and then he's going to say, "Where's your evidence? Where's this from?" And then the evidence is just some girl talking about it. Unless that girl wants to go in and talk to the government. And what does she know? She knows a guy came over with cocaine. You were doing cocaine, so you were doing something illegal too. Yeah, well, sorta. Does Charlie pay you to fuck? Yeah, that's prostitution. Can I call
call my lawyer. And then before, come on, man.
TMZ has this awesome article on yesterday where, like, Charlie Sheen's old friend or publicist or something like that used to hang in his life and get in a lot of trouble with him. And then he, like, kind of disappeared for a few years. Well, lately he's been hanging out with this guy again. So they found him the other day.
Charlie's been hanging out with this guy.
Yeah, Charlie's been hanging out with this guy again recently. And so they found him yesterday, like, walking on the street somewhere in Sunset or something. And he had an Enjoy Coke shirt on. And they're like, huh, interesting.
Oh, my God.
It's also a testimony of what a great actor Charlie Sheen is. Because listen to my theory, dude. Listen to my theory, okay? When you act, you have to – some actors get acting coaches, right? They get the script, right? They memorize their lines. They have to go to table reads rehearsals. This dude just shows up. You know what I mean? Just after a two-night bender, right?
But once you've been on a sitcom for that long, it becomes very easy. Yeah, News Radio, the last couple seasons, was super easy. News Radio, we were working 3 days a week. So easy. Yeah, and, you know, and we would get, like, a script, and then we'd fuck around with it for a couple of days, and then we'd put it up on Friday.
A sweatshop. And no one watched it.
You guys worked hard, and you guys had, like, weird guidance, man.
Yeah, we had nine Mexicans watch.
Those two dudes that were running it, man, those guys had odd tastes.
Yeah. Oh, it was the weirdest show I've ever
seen. I hosted it once, and that's one of the times – I knew you before that, though, right?
Yeah.
That's where I met Brian Callen. And I hosted it once, and I remember, like, talking to them about my – like, they wanted me to do a monologue, and I was just like – You know, so I'm like, all right, I'll talk about this and I'll talk about that. And like, you know, all right. But it was real awkward. I was like, how the fuck did these guys get to be running some sort of a sketch show? No, it was the weirdest sketch show ever.
Not only that, it's like no one, there was no like idea. Like people could just walk in. You know what I mean? We're a TV show. I just had people like walk and go, hey, like in my hallway where my dressing room is. Right. Hey man, what's up? I go, who are you? Oh, I just know I'm watching the show. How are you back here?
How'd they get back there?
I don't know. There was like
no security.
I don't know. I never met one security.
What lot did you guys film at? You never met a security?
I never met a security guard.
No security.
No, it was on Highland in Santa Monica. You know that one?
It did sort of seem like a factory.
Yeah, it was
weird. It seemed weird. Yeah, it didn't seem like a regular show.
Yeah. And then we would have big stars sometimes. Like Jackie Chan did it once. Like, what are you doing here? You're legitimate. You know what I mean? You're an international superstar.
It went on forever, too.
Yeah, and I behaved like a fucking asshole toward the end. I pooped in Lauren Dombrowski's office floor.
On her floor?
Yeah, because I was so mad at her.
Why were you mad at her?
Because they deceive you.
Really? Yeah, Lauren Dombrowski did?
No, she passed away. Do you know?
I know. I knew her from back in Boston when she was on a comedy team. Her.
She saved my life.
Really?
Yeah. I love Lauren.
And the shit on her floor because you love her?
No, but as a joke, it was as a joke, and there were two actors writing in there.
Right.
Ike and Nicole Parker were writing, and I go, stick this Tums in your asshole. Just for a joke.
Tums. Okay.
So I stuck it in my butthole, and then my butthole started foaming, and then they both started laughing, like really loud, and then I shot the Tums out of my butthole, and then a piece of poop came up after that, right? And it was a huge laugh, and then poor Lauren, you know, walks in and she sees a Tums that's foaming and a piece of poop on the floor, and I had to clean it up. So stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
But because when no one watches it, and like we had free reign just to act just as crazy as.
Why was it so bad?
But what was bad is because there's no real boss, right? And also what happened was Fox didn't own it. Warner Brothers did, right? And Warner Brothers didn't care about it. Right? Fox didn't care about it.
Right.
And no one watched it. And I don't know how it stayed on. But every year they would go, yeah, you're going to come back. I go, really? Wow. You know what I mean?
You and I used to have these conversations at the back of the comedy store where you didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to do. I mean, they're giving me X amount of dollars a week. Yeah. And it's a steady job, but it's fucking terrible.
It's terrible.
You fucking hated it, dude.
Oh, I hated it. I mean, at 5 in the morning, you'd show up. No one's there.
You would have this look on your face, man, sometimes. You would have this look on your face where you just like... You didn't know what to do.
I cried a lot.
You fucking hated it.
I cried so much on that job.
So at 5 in the morning, when you'd show up for work?
5 o'clock call, you should have up. There's no one there.
No one.
Yeah. And then at 5:40, people start showing up. I go, why did you call me? Who runs this thing?
Right.
You know?
Call times are always brutal.
Oh, I hate it.
I hate when they get you in early just
in case. They lie.
They lie.
They're liars.
They are liars.
You know what I mean? You show up at 5, and then you shoot at 8 at night.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Because, well, first of all, because comedians are irresponsible. You have to take that into account.
Right.
You are, I am, Brian is.
You're on porn star.
Bro, Joey Diaz is the most irresponsible person I've ever met in my fucking life. Ari's fairly responsible, but even
he's
him.
Pretty responsible.
Pretty nuts.
Another time I got in trouble, they sued me. One of the actors tried to sue me.
Really?
She shows, it was her first day of work, right? She finally gets on a sketch show, right? And she later became, she's on Mad Men and she was on the cover of Playboy. But when she.
What's her name?
Her name is Krista Flanagan.
Hold on, we're going to Google.
Look her up. She, a Playboy, put that on.
Krista,
right?
With a C or?
Yeah, C-R-I-S-T-A. One of my best friends in the whole world.
She is?
Yeah, she is.
How do you spell her last name?
Flanagan. F-L-A-N.
You guys, you have very weird friendships.
Why?
Because, you know, you're friends with somebody, you poop on their floor, you're friends with somebody, you get sued.
But no. But
so you said she was in Playboy?
No, but Flanagan didn't know me. It's her first day of work, 5 a.m, she shows up, and we had rehearsals in the actor's rehearsal hall. And she's sitting on the couch. I had no idea who she was. She was eating yogurt. Okay? So I was so early. I'm delirious. I had like 30 minutes of sleep. I walked up to her, I grabbed the back of her head, and I farted in her mouth while she was in yogurt, right? She starts crying. Joe, she started crying, right? So then Ron Peterson, who you know who Ron Peterson is, right?
No.
The guy that went out with Natasha, all right, you know that whole thing?
I don't know who
it
is.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, Brian? The whole controversy with
I know with Ari. I know there was a controversy with
where Natasha left with the Mad TV guy. Ron That's Peterson the guy. Is
okay.
the guy.
Okay. She's very pretty. This Ron Peterson. Farted in her mouth.
Yeah.
You're a confident man. What made you so confident that fart in this pretty girl's face?
I farted in her mouth.
So then Ron Peterson physically attacked me. Mike McDonald on the show put her.
While you farted her?
No, after that, because she started crying.
Right.
Right.
So you farted.
In her mouth.
In her mouth.
With yogurt.
Okay.
She was eating yogurt.
So she's eating. You come by. You fart in her mouth. Like, when you grabbed it, did your butt touch her face?
No, I had my jeans on.
Right. Yeah, but your jeans.
But you know how it's powerful
face?
That you can go through two layers of underwear and jeans?
That's you felt
what it
was. A strong one.
Yeah, like, shh, like that. You know what I mean?
A lot of push behind
it. It doesn't go. Right. It goes, shh.
Did your jeans come in contact with her skin?
Yes.
Really?
With her lips.
Oh, my God.
Right, it went right in her mouth.
Oh, my God.
She started crying. Yeah. And then check it out.
So who attacks you?
So Ron Peterson attacks me, right?
What is this Ron Peterson look
he's like?
Like?
He's a Canadian comedian, okay. You know, actor.
So
you know
he comes after you.
Yeah. And Mike McDonald puts him in a headlock.
Puts Peterson in a headlock?
Yeah. Because
is he punching you?
Because he's physically attacking me.
Oh,
people
God.
Do that to me all the time. They just want to physically assault me. I'm just one of those guys. And then, you know.
Never
but so then 2 days later, you know, my manager, Abby.
Right.
You know what I mean? We had to sit there in front of, like, the Mad TV lawyers. And there was an awkward moment where, like, they have it on tape. They go, explain to me what happened. Right? So I go, I showed up at work. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, I see this girl. I don't know her. You know, like, yeah, she's eating yogurt. And she opened her mouth. Anyway, I farted in her face. In her mouth. And then there was a 15-second awkward pause. You know what I mean? Where people are like writing things down. You know what I mean? And then one guy just says, "Why?" Right? And I go, "I don't know." You know what I mean?
Right.
And they shut it up. So now I made a deal where I bought her a $500 gift certificate to Burke Williams. Nice. Right. Gave it to her like the next couple of days, and I wrote her into like a popular sketch that I did, and everything was fine. Became very good friends.
Damn, fart in my mouth and make it Best Buy.
Yeah. Wow, man. You know, it's an unfortunate thing when people try to fuck around on sets and just have fun. You never know right before you do something sometimes if it's too far. Patrice O'Neill had a really funny point once where Patrice was talking about Imus. About when Imus got in trouble for saying something about black people. Remember that?
The nappy haired basketball players.
Yeah. And he said that you can't, no one knows exactly what the fuck they're going to say before they say things like that. And sometimes you say things that are across the line, but he's like, but that's where all funny comes from. If it misses or it hits, it's still coming from the same place. It's just trying to get a laugh.
Yeah.
And he's totally right.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's like people that aren't in the comedy business, man, they don't really understand. And that in order to be really funny, you can't really have very many boundaries.
And you know where we're from, like, you know,
the store. Dudes are always whipping their dicks
like
out.
Yeah,
I have so many pictures of you naked, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I have pictures of you tucked, standing in the middle of the.
I've been assaulted there. I've been raped there. I've been all kinds of things have happened growing up in the.
I have a
club.
Series of pictures of you with your pants down at the Comedy Store from over the years. Where most of them, he has his dick tucked in between his legs.
Yeah, yeah.
And his legs pinched together, and your shirt is off.
The fucking lotion in the brush.
Probably on a Sunday, too. Who cares, right?
Probably a Tuesday.
But, like, and then you show up at a corporate workplace,
right.
You know, like a network show,
yeah.
And you bring that into there, and they're like, no.
Yeah, no.
We can't do that.
Yeah, when we were on news radio, there was a lot of chaos for a while because they would let us drink on the set.
Wow.
So we would be done with the show, and we would get fucking hammered.
Wow.
We would get so hammered that no one knows this. Because I never took
I shouldn't have done this. We blamed it on some band. We had a band that was at our studio or on the stage. I forget what the band was. Some like very heavy metal band. So it was perfect, like, to blame it on them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were in a scene with us. God, I want to say Anthrax. Was that a band?
Yeah,
right. They were, right? One dude had a shaved head.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're all hanging around. It was me and Dave Foley and Maura Tierney, just fucking smashed. And then we're hungry.
Yeah.
And Maura goes, "We can only get in the craft service room." And I'm like, "I can get in that room." And I fucking taekwondo'd the door. I kicked the door, smashed the door frame,
really?
Bent the fucking thing. Yeah, one kick. I kicked open the door and went inside and we fucking chowed down, opened up the fridge, and then they were so pissed the next day. They're blaming it on the band. And we were like, "Yeah, that's fucked up." Like, that's terrible. Those guys were fucking, and they were going to like stop drinking on the set because of it. Wow. Andy would get smashed.
Oh, yeah.
Andy would bring these shady fucking characters over.
Sure.
And just, it would just be strange smells coming out of this fucking dressing room. It was just a fun set, man. That's the thing. You don't get real good comedy unless you get the type of people that don't have that many boundaries.
Yeah.
People that'll go out there.
Yeah.
People that'll pull their fucking pants down. Like, all my friends that are comics, they pull their pants down. They do stupid shit. They'll say, "I dare you to go do this." Like, they're probably going to do it if it's funny.
Yeah. I've seen like 9-10 comics' penises over the last week. So, you know what I mean? Like Chris D'Elia's, Pauly's. I've seen Pauly Shore's penis, I'm not even lying, 832 times over a lifetime. You know what I mean? And it's just, I didn't ask.
Did Chris D'Elia's penis look like Al Magical's penis?
No. D'Elia's penis, by the way, is very large.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, but people don't
tell
know.
Tell that to Al Magical.
Why? Was Magical's penis big?
No.
No, it's pretty large too, I guess.
No, I don't think it is. It's impossible.
That Al Magical has a big dick?
Yeah, it's impossible.
Really?
I don't think so. Because he's A, Hispanic.
What are you talking about? Hispanics don't have little dicks.
They have huge monster dicks.
How many Mexicans are you blowing?
No, Mexican. I'm not blowing any Mexican.
What are you talking about?
They have big penises.
They're not small ones.
But they're not the black big penis people. They're not like black people.
Neither are like Irish. Well, Irish people have supposedly small penises.
No, they have thick penises.
No, the only,
Irish curse.
To me, the only difference between a Mexican guy and an Asian guy, except for culturally, but physically, I'm talking about, is the eyes.
What?
Yeah, the eyes. You. If you take a Mexican guy, you get him really high.
Right.
He's fucking from Okinawa.
You're right.
But they're more, well, they are Asian, really, because what American Indians are, it's people that came down from the Bering Strait.
That's right. Well, some people have a different theory that mankind started in America and they went the other way.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, that's also possible.
Yeah,
human beings have been around so long. They've made a bunch of recent discoveries that have way pushed back the dates of civilization.
Yeah,
they found, we were talking about this on the podcast recently about Crete. It's an island. It's 40 miles away from the shore, and it's been that way for over 5 million years.
Wow.
And they found these stone tools that may be as old as 700,000 years old. They're at least 100,000 years old.
God.
So they know 100,000 years ago, dudes were getting on boats and traveling 40 miles. I mean, that's amazing.
It's incredible,
shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of shit we don't know about people, man. There's a lot of shit we don't know about people. But as far as, like, what we do know is that the people that were in Asia are the same people that were North American Indians.
Sure.
And then North American Indians got fucked by Spaniards, and they created Mexicans. That's what it is. That's why some Mexicans look like Indians. They look like, you know, you could just make a fucking headdress, and he'd be Sitting Bull, you know?
And what also people don't understand is that, you know, Japanese and Koreans, which I'm Korean, right? We have Caucasoid strains in our DNA because there's, you know, we're from Mongolia,
right?
And they're so close to Russia, right? That it mixed a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So we have that, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of white.
Well, Russia, there's a lot of parts of Russia, like Siberia especially, where the people look very Asian.
And they look like Bjork.
Yeah. So they have a weird, you know, sort of an Inuit look to them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really interesting, that shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trip, man. It's a trip when you step. What's really a trip about Asians, the real trip is the stereotype that they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And they don't, of course, look exactly the same. But I don't have to tell you that.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird that you have an entire group of people with narrow eyes and the same color skin and black hair.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like zero variation.
Right.
That's crazy but that there's a billion people like that.
Yeah.
You know, a billion plus, really. I mean, that's really amazing. When you look at the very minute amount of variation as opposed to European countries and even African countries. You know?
But let me say something to you, okay? It's just that, okay, I ran into you and Eddie once at the Sherman Oaks Galleria. you guys were working out at the gym there, yeah. Okay? And I was maybe 100 feet away from you,
right?
And there was probably 20 other Asians in my area,
right?
And you from 100 yards go, Bobby. And I turned around, right?
Was it like that too? Like, hey, Bobby.
Yeah, you yelled from like 100 yards.
That's how I talk at the gym.
Yeah. No, it wasn't in the gym. It was outside the gym, right? It was outside the gym. And so you recognized me from 100 yards away amongst Asians. So we don't look alike.
Well, Bobby, I know who you are.
That's what I'm saying. That if we look
eyes are good. I'm healthy.
I understand that. What I'm saying is that we do have differences.
Sure, you have variations in the same theme. The same theme
is
over
that what
and
you're
over
saying?
Again.
The theme.
Yeah, the same skin color. Yeah. Look, this is not racist. You know, there's a bunch of people right now. This is not dedicated to you. Yeah. This is dedicated to the people that will start fucking complaining either on a message board or on Twitter. And yeah, I heard that shit you said about Asians. It's so racist. No, it's just an observation.
I don't find it racist.
To me, it's a fascinating thing. There's nothing negative about it, you know? But what's fascinating is that, especially like in China and Japan, there are a gigantic group of people that look very, very similar. And there's not like a lot of black influence.
Yeah, there's
not a lot of European influence.
Sure.
And the fact that they were able to stay so pure for so long is really quite shocking. When you look at the history of the human race has been around for, you know, however many hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, that they've been so concentrated in this area that it's been, you know, Asians breeding with Asians almost exclusively.
That's the reason why I've only dated one Asian guy in my whole life.
You said guy and slipped
I said girl,
up.
Patty.
I heard you said guy first.
Girl, guy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Girl.
So Patty, girl, Patty. Yeah, she was a Power Ranger.
Whoa.
She in the space one. Oh, when they went to space.
Okay.
Yeah, she was hot, right? She was beautiful, right? So when I was in the bed with her, you know how it's dark and your eyes get adjusted to the light a little bit, the darkness, right?
You saw yourself.
I didn't see yourself. I saw the guy from Heroes. I saw I saw the lady from Grey's Anatomy. I saw my Uncle Han. I saw Kim Jong-il. You know what I mean? I saw everybody.
Kim Jong-il.
And after that, I said, I can't do it anymore.
Wow.
So the girls that I date are always either 6'2", blonde, Scandinavian-looking ones.
Wow.
Or like, you know, skinny, tall Mexicans that are, you know what I mean? But it cannot be Asians.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I knew a girl who was Chinese, and she had a thing with her dad, and just Asian guys made her throw up. Like, she couldn't even imagine fucking her.
Yeah.
She's so sad.
Yeah,
like, you poor kid.
Yeah, I'm
imagine,
the same
like,
way.
If you're so just one group, just fucking whoever was the representative of that one group fucked up so hard.
Yeah, but that's, you know, the Asian parents are really the worst.
Really?
They are the worst because they come to this country and they just assume that they're going to have their children here and that they're going to be doctors and lawyers. I mean, that's flat out. There's like three options, right? So if you come home with C's, you're getting a beat. I got beat so hard, bro.
Really?
Yeah, just beat because I got a C on my report card.
Now, how do your parents feel now that you're real successful as a comedian? Do they accept that?
No, but when I first started doing stand-up, they didn't talk to me for years, bro.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, like, for birthdays, I go, happy birthday.
Wow.
Thanks, Dad. Okay, bye.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I understand culturally what that's about, right? And then when they saw me on The Tonight Show, Leno, like 12 years ago I did it, right? That was the first moment where they went, oh, we fuck up. We totally fuck up. So my guy called me emotionally, and I'd never seen the guy cry before.
Wow.
And he started crying on the phone and goes, I should have supported you, but I didn't because I never thought you could make it. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
And I made a mistake.
No. That's heavy, man.
Yeah, and it was like the bond. You know what I mean? That they, you know what I mean, discovered that they made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right? That the whole time, like me getting bad grades in school, me getting kicked out of school, you know what I mean?
Right.
And all the behavioral problems.
You need that to be a comedian.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know a single comedian that got straight A's and fucking studied all the time and
had a lot of
options.
Dane did good in school, I think.
Did he?
Yeah. Well,
maybe that's his fucking problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the root of it right there.
And that's why, my last point is the reason why that guy, Cho Sung-hui, shot up Virginia Tech.
Because his parents were just super suppressive.
His parents, okay, always saw the kid talking to imaginary people.
Yeah.
In the park, you know, in like a park.
Right.
Right? Now, a normal parent would go, oh, that is a mistake. You know what I mean? That's something wrong.
Right.
But since the kid was getting good grades in school, they just go, you know what? He's getting good grades. right? They never address the problem that he's fucking crazy.
Right.
Right? Like, my parents, you know, I got bad grades, but I was always a good guy. Like, if I saw a homeless guy, you know what I mean? I would give them a dime or whatever I had in my pocket, you know what I mean? I was never an evil person, you know what I mean? I had a good heart, right? But they didn't acknowledge that part of me, you know what I mean?
Of course.
They only acknowledged that, is he getting good grades? What's college is he going to go do, right? So as soon as the guy shot up the school, the Korean community harbored, okay, this kid. The parents of the kid. So that's why you can't find an interview online with the parents. Like, what the fuck happened, right? Wow. The Koreans harbored the parents, so you couldn't get – the media couldn't get to them. Then they shipped them to Korea.
They shipped the parents to Korea?
Yeah, the Koreans don't live here anymore.
Wow.
They live in Korea, hiding, you know what I mean, in Pusong or something, you know what I mean, in some village.
It's kind of a fascinating thing that when someone does something fucked up, you never blame who made them. You know, like if my dog goes out and bites people, yeah. Like all of a sudden, you asshole, you know, what did you do with your dog? Why is your dog so mean? How come your dog wasn't contained in your yard?
Yeah.
But if your kid goes out and fucking shoots people and shoots up a school, nobody like pulls you aside and go, hey, what the fuck was going on when this one was being made?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you saw Jeffrey Dahmer's parents still, defend themselves. Like, you can't defend that shit.
You can, but you can't, but who's to say that someone can't just be broken? Who's to say that you can't just have normal people and this kid's just got a fucking wild screw loose, period. Yeah. And there's nothing you can do about it.
But can I say something, Joe? And yeah. I disagree with you on this point, okay? Because, you know, I met your daughters, right? Mm-hmm. Just these well-adjusted, beautiful kids, right? I guarantee you they're not going to eat somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, they will not eat somebody. Look,
that's a poor example because that's just a few that worked out well. We're not talking about the average person. We're talking about – there's like the thing about Dahmer is a perfect example because apparently he was never abused, you know? But
his parents – weren't together.
They weren't together, but that doesn't mean anything.
And the father, when he saw Dahmer with the dead dog, I brought home a dead animal, right?
Right.
To my dad, right? I go, look, daddy, I found the cat, right?
Right.
He beat the shit out of me till I could no longer even move.
Really?
And I never brought home dead cats anymore.
Did he make you eat it?
Right. No. Okay, but this is a guy that was killing a bunch of things when he was really young, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's one of the few cases that, from what I've read online, maybe you know more about the case than I do.
Yeah.
But from what I've read more online, there's no evidence that he was ever molested, never had any stories about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
His parents were seemingly normal.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
I don't know.
But I think
I don't know. I mean,
but I think a lot of it has to do with upbringing.
Nurture. Right? Yes. Yeah, a lot of it does, but maybe not all of it. I mean, look, if someone can be completely psychotic like that Virginia Tech shooter or like many other serial killers, I mean, who knows? There might be a variety of things that can go wrong. It might not just be nurture. It might also be nature. That might be possible.
But there also, I mean, you have to admit though that there is a mental deficiency, right?
Sure.
Something going on.
Yeah.
Right? And there are medications out there, right?
Are there medications that can give you a soul?
That's true.
You know
what
I'm saying? Because I think there's some people that are sociopaths, and they have no feeling for other people. All they think about themselves. We know a bunch of them. We know a few comics that are sociopaths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, Mencia is a clear sociopath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah, yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
You know, there's a disconnect between, you know, these people and reality for whatever reason. And almost all of them, it's some sort of sexual abuse when they're young.
Yeah.
Almost all of them.
Well, Mencia, I guess it came out in a different way, though, is what you're saying. You know what I mean? Instead of like slaughtering a village.
Well, it can come out in a bunch of different ways. It can come out in drug addiction. It can come out in, you know, prostitution and girls who do porn, you know.
But you know my view on Mencia, you know, that, you know, I see a side to him that no one, like you guys, don't see.
Play the music.
I play
Call of Duty. No. What music?
Give me some love music. Look, I know. You
know
I've always. For a long time.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I don't see.
Well, you're like the neighbor that, you know, what was Dahmer like? Well, he was a nice guy. He always said hi and.
Yeah. Maybe I am the neighbor.
He was always kind to me.
Yeah. Maybe I'm the neighbor.
You're the neighbor, bro.
Yeah.
But the neighbor that doesn't get it. Look, no one who's evil is evil to everybody. I mean, fucking maybe Ed Gein had a nice cat, you know, that he treated well.
Right.
Fuck,
I love that guy, Ed Gein. Creepy.
Do
dude.
You?
Well, in just in sense that, like, you know what I mean, inspiring these huge movies like, you know, Silence of the Lambs and...
Yeah, it's a fucking scary thing because he was doing it back when there was no other examples of it. That was just what he's supposed
crazy
to be
shit.
Doing. It's not like this guy like learned about it in movies
and
shit.
Yeah.
No, he was making clothes out of people.
Right. I think making a lampshade, right, is worse than making clothes.
They found lampshades from World War II that were made out of Nazis made out of Jews. They found one recently.
Oh my God.
Was preserved.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
That's crazy. You know, yeah, it's so yeah, crazy. It's horrendous.
No one's going to buy that. Like, how could you put that out in your living room?
Sick or some people, yeah, man.
Did they make like clothing too and like everything or just lampshades? Like, did they have Jew bras?
I think they just fucking slaughtered people and did whatever they wanted to them. It was a,
dude,
a, some sort of
Jew
a subhuman.
Don't ever say Jew bras in front of me again.
Do you have in your house like a room devoted to Kim Jong Il, like newspaper articles over a wall and circles and like private investigator photos? Do you know him? Do you meet
why
him?
Why would I know him?
Because it seems like he would be your enemy right now if I was you.
Why?
Because it seems like he's in everything right now. Yeah, do you feel some kind of competition?
I don't know anything about the dude.
Brian has brain damage. When he was a young man, he was asleep and he lived in an apartment. And for years,
I mean, there has to be
carbon
some,
dioxide was blown on his head. Open event. I'm not kidding.
Brian, listen,
you have brain damage.
Can I just say something to you? Okay. When I was born, okay, I saw all the shows that you saw.
Right?
Because I was lived in America and TV. I listened to the Beatles. You know what I mean? I smoked high with my friends on a hammock. You know
when did your parents come here?
In the late 60s, right? And what's crazy about my parents is they didn't even meet in Korea. They met here.
Wow.
Right? They met in a disco.
And they're both super Korean.
They're super to Korean, but yeah.
Very traditionalists.
I mean, not now.
So now you grew up in San Diego, right?
Yeah.
Now that's where I met Bobby. When I met Bobby, Bobby was a doorman. You were a doorman?
I was a doorman. It was like 97, 96, maybe 95. Yeah.
Maybe earlier.
Maybe earlier, yeah.
It was I just moved to LA. I'd only been here for a little while and I was doing a weekend at the La Jolla Comedy Store and it was me and Jimmy Schubert and
Bobby.
I think Diaz
was with us too.
I don't think so. I think Diaz was still in Seattle at the time. And we went to a strip club in San Diego, and there was these Mexican gangbangers that were like the real deal, like tattooed tears in their face, and the whole. And this one dude was, he had these crazy murderer eyes, and you know, and Jimmy Schubert was like, I don't know what happened. Jimmy was trying to get a dance from one of the girlfriends or something, or said something to one of the girlfriends, and so the guy got up and he got in Jimmy Schubert's face, and Jimmy Schubert was trying to apologize, and Bobby Lee just got all crazy, like fuck these fucking pussies. Bobby Lee, like, you're like, these guys ain't shit. These guys are pussies. And he was saying it like loud, and the guys were looking at us. And I just got up and I said, I'm leaving right now. Whoever's coming with me is coming with me. I'm leaving right now. Like, I knew we were like moments away from someone getting shot.
Really?
I don't have street smarts.
Oh my God. Negative street smarts. These dudes had tattoos on their face. There's certain dudes where you look at them and you go, these guys are posers. These guys were murderers. Wow. Like, there's no question about it.
Yeah, they were a shotgun.
We're 15 minutes away from Tijuana, okay? And this is, you know, this is the old days when it wasn't even hard to go back and forth. Back in the 90s, bro,
you
needed a driver's license. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
You didn't have to have a passport to go to Mexico or come back and forth. Dudes were coming back and forth all the time.
Oh, and cab drivers didn't even, they could just drive back and forth. Cab drivers.
It's so easy. It was easy. So there was a lot of crime. And dangerous crime. It was like you would run into pockets of like extreme danger. And that's what we were involved in, a pocket of extreme danger. And there's Bobby like, fuck these guys. These guys ain't shit. Fuck, you guys are pussies. He's saying it loud. And I don't know if you were drunk at the time.
No, I wasn't.
Were you sober?
Yeah. Okay. I was 23.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just left the hometown Poway. Was where I grew up.
Poway?
Yeah, it's called Poway. Yeah,
it's outside of San Diego?
Yeah, it's like east of 25 minutes east of like downtown San Diego, right? And I didn't know much, okay? I just started doing stand-up. I wanted to impress you because, you know what I mean, you're a headliner, and I'd never met headliners, you know what I mean? Like, he's a headliner, so I wanted to act tough, you know what I mean? And I came across looking like a fucking asshole.
Well, it's not how you came across. It was the threat that you had put us into. You'd put us in a position
I apologized over the last 15 years.
No big deal, buddy. It's just a funny story, man. I still love you. It's just a funny story, but I just remember, like, this little motherfucker is going to get me killed.
Yeah, and I remember it vividly.
Yeah, he was so incredulous. Even now, we were waiting to get in the car. You guys are overreacting. I'm like, get in the
fucking car. I
don't
know what was wrong with
me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I've seen murderers before. I've met them.
Yeah,
There's a certain tweak in a person's eye when they've already killed somebody. Sounds like nonsense.
But Joe, I was just in South Africa. I did some shows out there.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I walked out of my hotel room, and all of a sudden, I'm on the floor.
What?
Yeah. I go, why am I on the dirt, right? And these two black guys from South Africa were robbing me.
Whoa.
And I don't know, have any smarts. You know what I mean? Like, they
were. So would they hit you with something? Or they throw you on the ground?
I walked out and I saw these two guys kind of following me.
Right.
I go, oh, like, I don't have that instinct.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the next thing I know, they throw me onto the ground, these two huge black dudes. Right. And then, like, my face is in the dirt, and they take my BlackBerry, and I had some cash in the other pocket, right?
Right.
They ran off, and then Ian Bag, you know Ian Bag?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Ian Bag and I looked for 2 hours for them. But what are we going to do when we find them? I know, nothing.
Why would you look for them?
Because I was going to buy my BlackBerry off of them.
Oh, that's good. Like, they're going to accept like, money. They'll just steal your money. Give you something that's worth money for your money. Fuck you.
I don't know.
That is the most.
More money?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm just telling you this happened. And the thing is I just don't have any street smarts.
Wow.
Yeah, I just don't have that instinct. I grew up in the suburbs.
Wow, that's not just not having street smarts. That's like you haven't thought this out. And Ian Bagg was down with this plan?
Yeah.
What's his problem?
He's from Canada.
I think me and Bobby grew up together in the same apartment.
He's Canadian.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the same Africa kind of thing.
Africa is very tricky, isn't it?
It's crazy.
How long were you there for?
A month and a half.
Whoa, what were you doing there for a month
and a
half?
I did a bunch of shows in Johannesburg, Durban, and Cape Town.
That's crazy.
It was crazy, bro. I did it with great comics, so Mencia, not Mencia, Pablo Francisco. I get them.
You keep getting them confused.
I know, Pablo Francisco.
You know all those Mexicans.
Yeah, yeah, Gabriel Iglesias. No, it was Pablo, me, Ian, Orny Adams.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, I saw a photo with you and Orny online somewhere.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was the experience like? Well, first of all, what are the audiences like? They're Africans?
No, they're just white and blacks. It's amazing.
The N-words.
Dude, in that way.
In the best audiences I've ever played in front of.
Really?
You crush. You absolutely crush, bro.
Really?
Because comedy is only like 10 years old there.
Whoa.
Right? And they get all, you turn on the TV, you see Two and a Half Men, all these shows that they get from America, right?
But they can't do it themselves.
No, they have a couple of, there's a guy named Trevor Noah who's a huge star out there.
Really?
Yeah. And he's a black guy. He's huge. And there's another guy named Luiso, right? So it's new. So like now, you know, these, if you're a stand-up in South Africa, you get ad campaigns. Like just Verizon and Trevor Noah. You know what I mean? Just huge posters. It's a market. Dude, Dunham is now playing out there.
Who?
Jeff Dunham. Like everyone's going out there now.
Really?
Yeah. Rogan, Joe, you would kill.
There's plenty of places I don't get to go to in America. I got to get back to Houston. I haven't been to Chicago in a year and a half.
Fucking Houston.
I'm not going to fucking Africa, man.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that if you know, they don't know me, you know what I mean? And they're still coming out.
Right. Well, right? They probably got Mad TV, didn't they?
No, they don't.
No?
No. They don't know who the fuck I am. I opened, bro.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I had Orny and all these guys go
well,
after
they know
me.
Who Orny is?
No, but the thing is that the producers of the show were like, because Asians are third-class citizens there.
Whoa.
We're like the blacks of South Africa, right?
Whoa.
So it's like, you know, we were like riding in the back of the bus, like, but up until 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
They had a back of a bus for Asians?
I like back of the bus.
Yeah, we weren't able to vote.
Really?
Like 15 years ago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they view me as like, you know what I mean, like scum of them, which is crazy. You know what I mean? It is absolutely unfathomable. You know what I mean? So it's like, so I went up first and I could feel every show, dude, people going, oh, my, you know what I mean? Like just, and I just know, you know, bang, bang, you know what I mean?
Right. You could feel that they were like judging you?
Not judging me, but there was a feeling of like, what the fuck is this shit, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how is that not judging you?
Maybe. But the thing is I know as soon as I opened my mouth, I just said the first couple of jokes, I had them on my side. You know what I mean?
Wow.
You just crush.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Because A, they've never really seen Asians that have an American accent that doesn't have an accent.
Right.
Right? So that in itself is shocking to them. And B, me just talking like an American, which I am. And then me, C, being funny, you know what I mean? Shocked them too, you know what I mean?
Wow. That's cool.
So it's crazy, you know?
So you were there for a month and a half?
Yeah. I mean,
how many shows did you do?
Oh, God, a lot, bro. I did like, I don't know, 35.
Holy shit.
30 to 35.
Who booked that?
There's a festival out there every year. You should do it, dude.
And it's 30. No, I'm not going to go in for 35 no. days.
Oh, you can't do it?
I don't want to. I don't like going for any place. I don't even like going places for 4 days.
Yeah, right? I hate it.
I like 3 days and done.
Yeah.
In and out.
But for me, it was just like, you know, because I just never been there. And also, you know, there was just like a slow time, man.
Wow, 35 fucking days in Africa. And did they pay you in gold coins and shrunken heads?
Well, yeah, was the AIDS good?
No, the food.
Did you worry about malaria? Did you worry about
no,
malaria?
The money was great. Dude, you go.
George Clooney got malaria.
Yeah, dude, it's like being.
He did
it really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
dude, it's like being anywhere else, kind of. Like if you're in Cape Town, it's like, oh, there's a, you know, a coffee shop and a, you know what I mean, clothing store. You know what I mean?
Starbucks are there?
No, there's another thing called. There's a.
There's only difference is they rob you everywhere.
During the day. They have no. People get robbed all the time.
Wow.
One of the producers of the show said, yeah, I was on the freeway during the day, and some black guy just walked up to the door, her door, and said, I want the car. So she just got out, gave him the car.
Whoa. Yeah, pass on Africa, please.
Is there a lot of flies like the whole
no,
time?
No, dude.
Why would you tell me to go to a place where you get robbed all the time? What's so great about it?
Because I'm just saying, though, because I just think that you're a great comedian, stand-up, you know what I mean? And I just think that there's no one like you that's ever played there and that you could clean up.
I don't want to.
We could hang out with D'Antwoord, man. We could just, you know, the whole week.
D'Antwoord's over here. They're hanging out with Jimmy Kimmel.
I love
D'Antwoord. Oh, really?
Love them, too.
I love them.
Yeah, I called his cell phone. That's his voicemail. Beep boy, beep boy.
Oh, it is?
I love that. Yeah, awesome. I love them. I love
them. That's cool.
Yeah, we went gaga on them when they first came out on the podcast.
But that's how I know about them, because of
us?
South Africa.
Oh, because of being in South Africa.
Are they big there?
And also, you know.
So you found out about them way before everybody else.
Yeah, and also, those guys, you know, the way they look, that's what some of the, like, a lot of the white people look like.
Now, how popular is D'Antwoord in South Africa? Was it huge?
Yeah, I know, but you go to a hip-hop store. They have hip-hop stores, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's a poster or whatever, you know what I mean? And, you know, they have radio stations that play just regular music. It's a normal place, you know?
Is it just all intense?
It's just new, you know what I mean? Civilization is new.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Joe,
it is new. That's what's scary about it, man. And it borders so much wild shit.
But that's how, that's how Russell Peters, he had his first theater show in South Africa.
Yeah.
And that's how he got the momentum. You
well,
I mean?
Sort of, but Russell is just, first of all, you know, he has a huge following in the Asian community, you know,
Indians huge.
And Asians.
Yeah.
And they're just so happy that there's another comic like, you know, or a comic like him out there. And they just come out in massive droves to support him. The community is so strong.
Yeah.
But Russell sells out like that everywhere. It's not just,
you know, he's
India.
Crazy. Yeah.
He does two nights.
But this is
in
before
a row.
He had that.
Really?
Yeah. His first theater show was in South Africa.
How far is that flight? Isn't that like 16 hours?
No, it's a 24-hour deal. Because you do 12 to Amsterdam, and then you do another 12 to South Africa.
Man. God damn.
I know. It's the worst.
Really?
Yeah. It's the
24
worst.
Hours in the air.
You feel like, it feels like 2 weeks in the air.
Oh, my God.
You know, you start sweating. Man. You know, you start sweating after a while, right?
It must wreck your body, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What is 24-hour jet lag like?
It tears you up. It tears you up. That's and awesome. You have to do business class, at least.
Tell me this.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on planes that make you feel so fucking bad when you land? Because I feel like I drink. I feel like when I'm on a plane, I feel like it's like the same feeling I get when I do a show and have like three shots.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
It's the air quality. You're pretty much hotboxing.
You're breathing
with 500
other people's insides.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and you don't know what, you know, people are just filthy animals.
And you know this, when you sleep on a plane, you always sleep with your mouth open because you sit back like this. And, like, no matter who you look at, everyone has their mouth open. So you're just sitting there going, and sucking that in through your mouth.
What is the way around that? There's no way around that.
Oh, I went to a strip club in South Africa. It was the worst place I've ever been to in my life.
Really?
I got a lap dance from a girl, I kid you not, that looked like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Oh.
Really?
I could get into that.
She had facial hair.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
Yeah, her breast was, like, you know what I mean, shriveled up.
Oh,
it
gross.
Was awful.
And she was touching you?
Yeah, she's touching me, but I'm laughing the whole time, you know what I mean?
So you did it on purpose? You went
I just did it for fun, you know what I mean? Yeah, but it's awful.
Did you worry about getting robbed there?
No.
No, you just don't worry.
I got robbed the last day, like the second to the last day I was there, bro.
Wow.
So it was like my, you know.
So did you just let, like when the guy stole your BlackBerry, did you try to get another one? Or
it's
did
a
you
black,
say,
you know why? Because I know I'm leaving this God-forbidden place. You know what I mean? I go back to civilization.
You hate it, man. You're trying to get me to go there. What's wrong with you?
No, what I'm saying in terms of
it's a trap.
Joe, in terms of like, you know what I mean? What you would do there business-wise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know,
that's
man.
All.
To me, what's the most important thing is having fun. And 24 hours in the plane is not fun. You know, like I got a gig coming up in Australia. I'm doing some place called Rudy Hill. It's outside of Sydney. It's like the suburbs. It's like all I could get because it was like a late last minute thing. And that's because I'm doing the UFC out there. I like doing those gigs.
Yeah,
I'm doing the UFC. And so a night before, I'll do a gig somewhere in Australia, and I've done them in England, and I've done them in Ireland. I've done them all over the place.
Yeah.
But I'm not traveling somewhere for 24 fucking hours to do an audience.
Just to do a show.
Yeah, I can do that. I can do that in Burbank, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I can get
in my car and do that.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, that's just too crazy. It's too much of a commitment.
But, you know, that's the only, I mean, when you're in a point in your life where right now the only revenue you're getting is through live shows.
Right.
You just kind of have to go, fuck it. You know
but why fuck it when you just build up your audience in America, man? That's how I feel. I mean, I don't, there's nothing wrong with doing it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with traveling. But for me, first of all, part of it is kids. I have kids. I can't just go somewhere for a month. That would fucking drive me crazy.
Yeah, but I wanted to see great white sharks and shit like that, you know, too.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I mean, that was interesting about Australia, too, seeing crocodiles and shit and kangaroos.
Yeah.
And find out that fucking kangaroos kill more people than anything. Kangaroos fuck people up in Australia.
They do?
Yeah, there's big giant
kangaroos.
They're
so cute, though.
There's apparently two different types of kangaroos. I forget what color the big ones are, but the big ones will fuck you up. They're like 300 pounds and shit, and they gut people. They kick you with their
claws. And there's a toad
there's
a toad out there that's
dude, everything,
rampant.
Everything's really? Trying to kill you in Australia.
That they shipped there from a different place, right? Because they had locusts or something that they wanted to get rid of, so they shipped these indigenous frogs from South Africa. But the locusts were so high up on these leaves that the frogs didn't eat the locusts or whatever.
Oh,
so they just multiplied.
Wow.
And they're poisonous. So they just went rampant.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
people are so goddamn smart trying to fix ecosystems.
Yeah, yeah. It fucked that place
up. How about
just
spray the bugs? You spray. You cunts.
Bobby, what was Eminem like?
What?
You met Eminem, right?
Yeah.
What was he like?
He's a nice guy.
Where'd you meet Eminem?
I was in one of his music videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got a call saying, come down now, because they need you, right? So I came down. I did three sketches. I played Sulu. Then I played an Eskimo. That's and funny. One. Yeah. And, he's nice. I hadn't met him before. And I got to meet Dr. Dre, which is great. He has a huge black hand that just takes my little hand and it surrounds my hand. And it's so dry and it's perfect. You know what I mean? Just soft. You know what I mean? It's like Dr. Dre's hand. You know what I mean? And he's so gentle, like a giant gentle guy. He put his hand on your back.
He's huge.
Huge.
Now. Something happened. He started lifting weights and got gigantic.
Yeah, but he's kind. He's a kind guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because I grew up with N.W.A.
Yeah,
you know
me too.
I love that stuff. Yeah. So it's like it was
great.
I met
Ice Cube once. That was the fucking coolest thing ever. When Ice Cube said, "What's up, Joe?" I'm like, "Get the fuck out of here!"
Yeah. Is that great?
Ice Cube knows my name.
It's great. I can't it's great.
It was a trip.
Yeah. 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 Awesome. It's so crazy the people that one time I was in Miami. I was in the front row. Was Gloria Estefan.
Whoa, get the fuck out of here.
I didn't know who she was.
Holy shit.
So somebody backstage before I went up there, Gloria Estefan's in the audience. I go, who's that? And they go, it's Gloria Estefan. She's huge. I go, really? She's huge? So I went up on stage, and this is what I said. I'm an asshole.
Oh, no.
No, I get up on stage. I go, ladies and gentlemen, Gloria Estefan.
No!
And then you know how they shine the light on her? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she's blushing. She's kind of waving to the audience. And I'm still smiling because I don't know. I fucked up.
Oh, no.
Right?
Edibon.
And then afterwards, she just left. So I was never able to meet her.
Wow.
And if you're listening, Gloria Estefan, I Googled you after that. You know what I mean? And I know all your stuff. And I really, sorry for the disrespect.
Maybe she thought you were doing like an Asian joke, though, you know?
Why? She's not Asian.
No. That you were mispronouncing it. You know, like you were doing like a character.
No, because I don't do that. You know what I mean? So like, trust me, it came all fucked up.
Oh, that sucks.
You know I mean? Because even the audience went, you know what I mean? You could hear them go,
that's hilarious.
That's
you know what I mean? And then one time, because I don't know what like sports people are.
Me neither.
I did this one commercial with these two old men. And I was like telling one old man to go get me a cup of coffee. Hey, can you go get me a cup of coffee? You just got one. He's like, all right. You know what I mean? And at the end of the shoot, I was left, and they're like, you know who those guys were? I go, who? Stan Mikita and Gordie Howe, who are huge hockey icons, right?
Had Gordie Howe going, getting you coffee?
He did it in a, I was joking, kind of. Like, can you get me one of those too? You know what I mean? It wasn't like telling him what to do. You know
I was not a hockey fan when I was a kid, so I didn't know. I knew Bobby Orr was like a name. I knew it was a big
huge
deal.
Yeah.
And so I was working at the Boston Athletic Club. And Bobby Orr used to come there and work out. And that's one of the first times I'd ever been around a professional athlete that had been fucked up from his sport.
Yeah.
I did not know how bad some dudes got jacked by their sports. But Bobby Orr had scars up and down both legs.
Yeah.
Where he had some insane amount of knee surgeries, like 16 fucking knee surgeries. Something crazy. It might even be more than that. But his knees were so bad that he would play racquetball. And if the ball went to the left or to the right, he would just lean and fall to the ground. He like literally couldn't move. it was the saddest shit ever, man.
Oh,
it was
that's so sad.
It was the saddest shit ever.
Oh.
And he would get, you know what a VersaClimber is?
No.
It's like a pole that's at an angle. It's got handles for your hands and for your feet. And you kind of, you go up and down with this thing. And it simulates that you're climbing something. It's called a VersaClimber.
You can't do it?
I used to have to put him on this thing. I used to have to help him. And what I used to do is I have to get behind him and I would have to hold his waist. And he would put one foot in one of the stirrups. And then you'd have to kind of lift him a little so he could get his foot into the next one because his knees didn't bend.
Yeah.
His knees literally didn't bend. They went from like fully extended to like one quarter.
It's like John McCain's arms.
It was way worse than that. Well, John McCain, it seems like he can't move them past a certain point, like his shoulders. Yeah. He's got bad shoulders. Needs to rehab that shit. Yeah.
Get your rotator cuffs fixed, son. Whenever I see him, I feel bad because Asians did that to him.
Did they?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, yeah. He was tortured for 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, they put him in straps, you know what I mean, and rope.
That's what fucked up his shoulders?
Yeah.
Really? Man,
well, what do you think? What do you think happened?
Mattresses and car bags.
Maybe slid into third and hit the bag with his hands. That's really what happened? They fucked up his shoulders?
Yeah. And when they made me play John McCain.
What?
I met you. Yeah, you can look
how
it up.
How the fuck how did you play John
look it up.
McCain.
Put Bobby Lee John
that
McCain.
That sounds silly.
Right. They got the call. I got the call. They're like, we want you to play John McCain. I go, no. They go, why? Because people let me torture them. I'm not playing him,
well,
too.
Vietnamese. It's pretty distant from Koreans, right?
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though.
Right. If someone said, are you Vietnamese, though, you'd be upset.
No, I wouldn't
be. You don't
be.
Look Vietnamese at all.
No, I love him.
Okay, it's not that you don't love them.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd be like, you're an idiot. You don't know the difference between Vietnamese and Korean.
There's a difference, yeah.
There's a big difference.
Okay, can I just say something? The reason why I said what I said.
Which part?
When you guys put, not you guys, right?
When he put the video on that said that I think that.
Oh, that
the
video.
The Vietnamese are jungle
Most
Asians.
People have no idea what we're talking about here.
Well, I don't know if you read it online.
Yeah, well, most people are not going to read the story about you online. Bobby Lee once was playing around and said something about Vietnamese. Wow, that's you as John McCain. You look like Donald Trump fucked Frank Caliendo. That's what it looks like. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look how Bobby Lee is John McCain, and it does not look like John McCain.
But the reason why I said that was because of Dat Phan.
You don't like that?
No, my I wanted to know where my resentment, why I would say something like that in the
about
fucking first place.
People.
Yeah, and it was because at that time, he was way bigger than me. You know what I mean? And I knew in my heart that I could just destroy him. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? As a stand-up. And everyone
that
was saying like...
That bothered you then, right?
Well, it bothered me then because they were saying he's the funniest Asian guy ever, right? And I'm like, I know Coy, I know Margaret Cho. You know what I mean? I know a lot of Asian comics that are very funny.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, what he had was a killer 5 minutes, you know, and I saw Dat Phan. I was one of the judges for Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
And the fucking kid destroyed, man. I mean, he came out and destroyed. It wasn't the best material in the world, but it was like, you know, who cares? You know, it's like pop comedy. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
But he destroyed. And then for whatever reason, I mean, he was really funny, but for whatever reason, it just never caught on after that. That was it.
But the thing is that I know him on the club level. Right. And I know exactly what he can do. Like in terms of like if you were to put Dat, me, Coy, like any of the other Asian guys up in our main, that you would be able to see.
Don't you think that that's corrosive thinking? Don't you think that kind of thinking is detrimental as a person to you? Like when you're worried about what other people can do and comparing yourself to them?
No, I don't. Because I know what you're saying. OK, it's like, you know, Ken Jeong, you know, his success. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm very happy for him because I've went on tour with Ken, you know what I mean?
Right.
We did the Asian tour, right?
Right.
He's been on 15, 16 sketches at Mad TV. I know his level, and he's a hard worker, nice guy, and he's a talent.
I love him.
Okay? And, you know, I feel the same way about Joe Coy or Steve Byrne or any of these guys, right?
Right.
I have no competitiveness with anybody. But I just know, you know what I mean, at certain people's talent level, and I just felt that he didn't deserve it.
Yeah, but what do you care? This is my point. Like, why worry about other people's
entertainment? No, but Joe, I'm better about it now.
Of course you are now. I know, but you're still sort of defending it, right?
No, not really. I'm not really determined.
That's what I'm saying. What I asked is, do you think that behavior is corrosive? By saying you're better than that now, you're saying, yes, it is negative, right?
It's very negative, and, you know, it was a bad time, really bad time for me.
It's tricky with comedians. I mean, we were talking about someone else earlier that gets jealous about people. It's very tricky with comics. For some reason, when comics see one person's success, they somehow or another think it as being taking away something from them.
Yeah,
what is that?
It's and for me, it's like I have accepted – You know what I mean? I accept what I have in front of me. I love my life. You know what I mean? But at the time, you know what I mean? It was in turmoil. Like, I wasn't really, you know what I mean? I didn't know what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I was going, you know, I had just gotten sober again. You know what I mean? So it was a rough time. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just, you know, you're just sensitive. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And so, yeah, I mean, in retrospect, it was really ugly.
Yeah.
My point of
view. That's one of those things you have to learn from, though. You know? But you see it so much in the open mic night days. You remember when you were an open mic night guy and you're just starting out, and then there would be guys that you work with that started getting work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, everyone would hate. I'd totally hate on people that would start. I'd be like, this guy's going to be good. Well, fuck him. But he's obviously good enough to get a job. Like, you know, it's not what him getting that job is not taking anything away
but
from
this
you.
Yeah, but the thing that what you learn over time, though, is that you realize there's so much work out there, right? That there's, I feel like there's enough for everybody. But at the time, when you're not getting jobs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know that you're funny.
Sure.
It's just a difficult transition.
Of course.
You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
Is it because Dat Pham's Vietnamese? Does that have anything to do with it?
No.
No?
No. Because I know Dat from San Diego. First of all, he's a liar. Remember, like, during the show, he said he'd been doing it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I started with the guy. You know what I mean? In San Diego. I mean, I have photos with him, you know what I mean, from back in the 90s.
So right? He had been doing it a long time.
Way long. You know what I mean? Living underneath a desk, all these things that he said he was claiming he was doing, you know what I mean?
It's not true.
To me, was not true. And also, Margaret Cho wrote him a letter because he had stolen a joke from her.
What joke was that?
I don't know what joke. You know what I mean?
Asian jokes is very tricky. It's like when a buddy of mine, my friend John Tobin from New York, used to say this, that when you work with a bunch of black guys, he goes, it's always if there's three comics and two guys are white and one guy's a black, the black guy is always like, yeah, man, I was supposed to be closing. I heard that I was supposed to be closing. He goes, unless there's two black guys and the black guy, then they're like, yeah, I'm supposed to open. I got to get out of here. I got another gig. Why?
Yeah, because
they
want
to be able to use all the black jokes.
That's hilarious.
That is so funny.
It's so true because there's so much hack shit that guys would just rely on because it would work every time. Now, you white people looking around seeing if you could laugh at this.
Yeah.
It's like Jewish material. Every person that's a Jew has to talk about them being a Jew. Yeah. And it's like they all do the same material.
When I went on tour with the four Koreans, we did the Kings of Comedy. It was me, Steve Byrne, Ken, and Kevin Shea, and no one wanted to close.
Why?
We would like kind of fight backstage, like I, you know what I mean. I'd have to close sometimes, you know what I mean. And it was very difficult
because there's so much.
It's not that we went over the material. It's just the fact that you know all Asian comics have at least 10 minutes, right, of their act about being Asian,
right?
The point of view might be different or the angle, right?
But you had all those probably have the most material, right? You have the most material.
But now a lot of your
killer shit is Asian. That do you still do that bit about the Vietnamese guy hiding in the can of Coke?
No. I don't know. That's why they won the war. They can hide in anything. They can hide in trees for 3 weeks. You know what I mean? With just a banana.
That
was a killer bit.
That was in that video you were talking about, right? Just before that we put up, the one that you got in trouble for?
Yeah, that video, yeah.
Yeah, didn't you talk about it in that video?
No.
No. No.
I don't blame you for the video, by the way. Yeah, it was just one of those. For a couple of years, I couldn't even look at you.
Why?
I gotta be honest with you.
I didn't say anything.
Can I just say this? I just need to get this because we haven't talked about it. I just want to bring it up. Can I bring it up?
Sure, anything.
Okay. There was a time about, I don't know when, 2 or 3 years, that I felt that there was animosity between me and your camp.
What?
Because
you never felt it from me.
Yes, I did.
Really? From me?
Yeah, I felt that. Can I be? I love you. Is that I felt that there was a weirdness because of the video that had come out.
No,
right? And with Ari, you know what I mean? And Ari not getting along.
Like when I called you when there was that video that you made where Mencia made you make that video.
Yeah, yeah.
I called you about it. I told you, dude, I'm not mad at you. It doesn't bother you.
Which was the one biggest mistake I thought because if you read the feedback. Oh my God! I had death threats.
I understood your point of view totally. I knew you from back in the day, and I knew your relationship with him, and I knew that you knew he was sick, and you were trying to help him. I knew the whole story. It didn't bother me at all. Okay. And for people who don't know, he just made this video saying that he never saw.
But can I tell you how that came about?
Okay, but let me tell these people. Okay. He made a video saying that he never saw Carlos steal any material, and it was one of those videos that looked like one of those terrorist videos where there's a fucking
exactly
gun pointed to your head and a knife under your neck.
Okay, this is what happens. I'm in Canada, right? The video comes on,
right?
And then Mencia calls me, and I literally 6 months ago I erased the message. I kept it for that long. You know what I mean? And it
damn
was
damn it! Why didn't
I know? It was so he was so angry. I can't even.
That would be so great to play on a podcast.
Yeah. I erased it.
Damn it!
So then what happens is I come back from Canada, and now it's the new season of Mad, right? And lo and behold, Mind of Mencia got picked up, right? And it's literally attached to Mad TV, like the studios are. Right. Whoa. So I'm like, I hadn't seen Carlos since the video went out. Right. So for a couple of days, I'm like, I know how to get around. I gotta go to this alleyway. I'll climb the stairs. Right. And I'll sneak around the back here.
You're wearing disguises.
Yeah. This is how I want to get back. Right. Well, next thing you know, he grabs one of his cousins, comes to Mad TV, who's a friend of mine, brings me over. Right. And then I had like six Mexicans. Just sit me down.
Are you sure they were really Mexican?
I don't know.
They're Japanese.
Yeah. They're
six Japanese guys. Stone Japanese.
Yeah.
Guatemalans.
Yeah. And you know, Carlos is there, Ned, and he just goes.
Was he sitting in a throne?
No. It was outside, and he just goes, "You got to do this for me." So I did it. You know what I mean? And then that happened. And then, you know what I mean?
The weirdest part about the video, though, what sucked is that, you made this video that didn't even seem like you even knew the video you were talking about. Like, it almost seemed like whatever. I can't remember the actual words in it. It sounded like you were talking about a video that you hadn't seen, which was even weirder because
I got caught between, you know what I mean, two camps that I've always had a relationship with, right? I mean, Joe and I have known each other for so long.
I don't
want to
have a camp.
It's not a camp. You know what I mean? People. Human beings. No, not camp. You know what I'm saying, okay?
Camps.
And then, you know, Mencia had a group, his group, right? And I felt like I was in the middle and that, you know what I mean? I felt like at a time where I had to choose, I felt like. I stayed out of it, you know what I mean, for the most part. Like, I for the longest time, I wouldn't talk about it in radio or anything like that because people would bring it up. Right. I'd go on tour and they're like, so, you know what I mean? And I'd be like, I don't want to talk about it, you know what I mean?
As far as just like the amount of interest generated by that, that's probably one of the most controversial videos in like the history of comedy.
It probably was, yeah.
You know, like, kind of crazy when you think
about it. It was
insane. But you know what also kind of crazy was, you remember what the environment was like before anybody called him on that, where everybody was on eggshells and you were constantly terrified of that guy walking in the room?
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then he was becoming successful. He's becoming successful and then just, it got scary.
Like I said, you know, I just don't see that part. You know?
Did but you see
do.
The movie I
but
Am
how
Comic?
How can you say that? Did how you can you say that? Because you do. You did.
Because
he stole some shit from you, man. I mean, I know you had issues with him.
Okay, I know. Can I just say this, though?
Yes.
All right. Here's what it is, okay, like we said before, okay, that it is like, you know, one of those situations where the guy, when I was an open micer, right, he bought me a car. It was a used car, but I didn't have a car, right? And then he took me on tour. Him and Pauly Shore would rotate. Like one guy would take me one, you know what I mean?
Who was more fun to hang out with on the road?
Obviously Pauly, because he didn't make me cry, you know what I mean? But like, and also I used to get pussy. You can't get pussy at a Mencia show.
Why not?
Because they're all married and have 19 kids. You know what I mean? And they're like, you know, any Mencia fan, I love you. But my point is that, you know what I mean? But my point is this, that
so
like.
So how did he make you cry?
Well, he would make me go to golf with him.
Oh, what? God.
He plays golf and I hate golf. And I'd have to get early and carry, you know, like bring the golf bag.
You would have to bring the bags.
I did it once or twice and I stopped doing it. You know what I mean? And
he would tell you
and
to
then
carry
one time,
the bags.
No. One time he, let's I'm going to move over that. And then,
you carry bags?
One time I had to, we played Denver once and he made me sleep. I didn't give me a hotel room. This is when he wasn't doing as well. He it was in the beginning and I had to sleep in Albert's closet.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
His brother's closet. He took you on the road with him and you didn't even get a hotel
room. He wasn't selling out at the time. This is literally in 96, 95. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But so, you know, he was always like, you know, a brother in a sense. You know what I mean? You know, regardless.
He nurtured you.
He didn't nurture me. Like, I think that the
How did you cry? What made you cry?
Just having to like get up and like, you know, there was a time where you had to sell merch and as a young comic, you know what I mean, you don't know what to do. You want to make it. You know, you appreciate the stage time, and it was just.
So he makes you work for him, and on top of just opening up for him.
Yeah, but to be honest, a lot of guys do that shit, dude.
Really?
Yeah, I don't when I because I have openers now, and I treat them with the
Pauly
utmost.
Does. Pauly does.
Yeah, Pauly does all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Didn't Pauly get you to work for free? Didn't Pauly?
I can't. That's another. I cannot.
You can't discuss that.
No, because it's another. Yeah. That's another. You know what I mean? It's what it is this, okay? Is Mincy is one thing, but Pauly, right? He specifically made me a regular there. Like, he made his mom pass me.
Right.
Right? And so there is a specific relationship. No one on planet Earth talks to me like Pauly talks to me.
In what way?
He talks to me like I'm literally his younger brother. Still today. And I understand it because, you know, I've known him for so long. But in the world, I'm almost 40. You know what I mean? I don't let anyone talk to me the way Pauly talks to me.
So,
it's fine.
But talks to you in a disrespectful way?
No, it's just like, dude, like he'll say, dude, you know what I mean? He'll say stuff like, dude, you should be bigger than you are now. You know what I mean?
Say, what about you, bitch?
Yeah, but the thing is,
don't you say that?
No, I don't say that.
Say, what happened with you, Encino Man?
Hey. I have to go to the comedy store once in a while. Yeah, I don't want to burn any bridges.
See what I'm saying, though? It's like that.
No, but I'm saying someone talking to you like that's not nice.
Yeah, but Pauly also, you know, when I moved to
LA. He's like a big brother, though.
You know, I lived in his house, you know what I mean?
You lived in his house?
Well, he charged me rent. But the thing is that, you know, and he brought me on the road, so it's like, I'm going to pee really bad. I'll be back in 1 second.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Sure, go ahead.
So, Joe, there's
going to get his story straight. He's going to go in there.
No, I don't have my story straight.
What if I said about Pauly?
No.
I can tell. I'm just kidding. I'm just fucking around. Turn around.
So, Joe, I saw a movie last night. You've already bought it. I guess it's on the way. It's called Enter the Void. And it is like somebody saw you talk about DMT and tried to write a script around it, around some living in Tokyo. I mean,
Just did it.
Huh? Well, no, it has a lot to do with DMT.
Yeah, and maybe they did.
Yeah, DMT. But how they describe it in the movie sounds like they're reenacting you. It's you're going to fucking, like, the movie was made for you. It's
really
amazing. And then it gets really annoying. But like the first half of the movie is like, wow, this is fucking cool. They show a DMT thing, what it feels like to be on DMT for the first half of the movie. And there gets parts where it sounds exactly like how you describe it. And then whoever directed the movie, which his name is, hold on, I'll tell you 1 second. It's directed by Gaspar Noé. He is brilliant.
When does it come out on DVD?
It came out Tuesday. It's on Netflix.
So I probably already have it.
Netflix streaming HD too. Ooh. But it is so amazing. If I ever make a movie, I want to make my movie look exactly like this guy. Brilliant. But then it gets really annoying, and there's all these like.
Why'd it get annoying?
Well, one of the director's things is like it does like the strobe light thing through it. It gets so bad that I feel like I'm getting hypnotized. Like this movie was made by Google or the government, and it's like. You'll see what I mean. Like, you'll sit there and like, I'm going to have a seizure. I'm having a seizure. Wait, I'm being programmed to do something. All right, it's
fucked. Do you know
up.
That there's an Olympic logo that they had to pull because it was giving people epileptic seizures?
Wait, what?
It was an Al Roker thing where Al Roker, I listened to it on Opie and Anthony. It was pretty fucking funny because Opie and Anthony were shitting on Al Roker because Al Roker was making fun of epileptics.
Yeah.
He said, so if you're still watching this, if you're not flopping around on the ground. You know, and so he starts making fun of it, and then the next day he comes back and says, I was only making fun of the ad. I was never making fun of epileptics.
Right.
Which is total bullshit.
When you see this, though, it's amazing that there's not fucking 5 warnings on the DVD before you even watch it, because it's so bad that it feels like you're being fucking brainwashed.
Well, do you remember that dude that we had on the message board that had his wife was epileptic and she would watch certain avatars on people's screens? They'd have flashing avatars.
Yeah.
What was his name? Jim.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy. I hung out with him. He was Marilyn Manson's webmaster.
Right.
Really fucking good dude.
Yeah.
I hung with him and his wife, and his wife has some weird condition where she, if she sees anything flashing, strobing, those little animated GIF files that flash, she would just, tongue rolls back, eyes roll back in her head, falls onto the ground.
This movie would make her pregnant. That's how bad it is. I mean,
what the fuck is it with people that certain things just make your brain shut off, like flashes and strobes?
Well, I can understand that. Like, if you see this, you'll feel sick to your stomach when you see parts of this movie. You'll have to turn away and, like, look at the ground for, like, 5
minutes. But is the movie good?
The movie is the director. You'll fall in love with the director. The movie is so good at the beginning and interesting and just you'll never see anything like it. And the trips, the visuals, if you're stoned when you see it, you might have a panic attack. I watched it in 3D last night and I was like, I am tripping right now. I feel like I'm on acid right now.
Really?
It's so good. And then it just gets boring and confusing. And
but don't tell me about the end.
Why would I want to watch it then? If it
gets
it sounds interesting.
You, I mean, it's still I like it, but it just kind of fades off after it gets. It's really cool, and then it kind of just kind of dies.
Well, you and I don't always agree on movies. There's probably a few movies that
it's like. Have you seen that movie Irreversible?
What?
Irreversible.
Yeah. No, what's that about?
It's a movie that played backwards, right? And it's notorious because there's a 5-minute rape scene in it in a tunnel,
right?
Which I swear to God. The most brutal thing I've ever seen in my life. And people online say it's the worst rape scene ever. You have to see it. It's so real.
Is this a Japanese movie?
No, it's German or some shit like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, they're fucked up.
Human centipede.
Not into that. Not into watching people get raped.
Yeah.
I watched Food, Inc. the other day.
Great.
Fucking disturbing, man. I watched it on the way home from West Palm Beach, Florida. And it's disturbing shit, dude. When that lady started talking about her son dying and about her son got E. coli from a Jack in the Box burger and how he was suffering at the end, I had to shut it off.
But even in the 70s, Jack in the Box had a big controversy where not only one person died, but a bunch of people died.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, from their food.
Dude, Food, Inc. is scary as fuck, you know? And I've had some people email me and tweet me saying that, well, it's not really that bad. This is propaganda. They're just trying to shock you. But how can they be trying to shock you if they're showing you reality?
Right.
I mean, if what they're showing exists on any level, it's terrifying. When they show these cows that are caked in manure, and this one cow, there was a plastic ring, and his stomach was exposed.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And they were reaching into his stomach. Like, whoa, what the fuck? And how about chickens, man? If you didn't know, I mean, look, if you like your cheeseburgers and you like to go to Wendy's at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I do too, man, don't watch this movie. It's going to fuck with your head. But this these chickens, they give these chickens steroids and antibiotics and all kinds of things, and they fuck with their genetics somehow or another to get them to grow so ridiculously big and plump that they can't walk, and they die all the time. They just fall down and die.
Not Foster Farms.
People make fun of, like, Chinese.
No?
Yeah, they have those commercials about how they plump them up and put salts and stuff like that and just make them really fat with, like, salt and water and stuff. And Foster Farms, that's what their whole advertising is based on that.
So their advertising is based on they don't use hormones.
Right.
Oh. Okay, well, that's good to know, man. It's good to know. I mean, there's got to be a humane way to make food. If it costs a couple bucks more, it's worth it. Meaning, I don't know how much more it would cost to not have cows. I'm down with eating meat, okay? Don't get me wrong. But the way that they're doing, the way they're producing meat for fast food and for, it's fucking crazy. It's just... It's totally beyond being humane. It's beyond that.
Yeah.
It's gotten to this factory consciousness-less, just feelingless place where they're just stuffing all these animals in these small areas and getting as much bang for their buck as they can.
Well, they make this food like they make an iPod. Like it's a factory system, right? And there's no love or care or anything. It's just let's make the product. That's why people make fun of Chinese all the time for the things that they eat. Like, if you ever go to a Chinese market, you can get anything. Butterfly wings or, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? The shoulder of a meerkat or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, they'll eat anything.
Right.
But the thing is that Americans eat way worse.
Right.
With these cows, you know what I mean? Just tainted meat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
People think that, well, also, first of all, China has a billion people.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's self-sustainable. China doesn't import food from anywhere else.
Right.
So that's pretty crazy in and of itself.
Yeah.
But they're able to feed a billion people. When you feed a billion people like that, you got to eat bugs. Okay, that's what's going
to happen. There is a restaurant in Bangkok that serves animal dick. That's all they do. And there's a 6-month waiting list to get on into this restaurant.
What?
Animal dick.
Wow. In Bangkok?
Yeah. How do you order that? I'd whisper, can I get the dog?
There was an Anthony Bourdain show the other day where they were serving animal dick soup. Apparently it was really good.
Yeah, it's supposed to get you viral.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Check this out.
Yeah.
That movie you brought up, Irreversible, whatever it's called, and the movie I was talking about, same director. What is the fucking odds of that shit, dude?
Really?
That is insane.
That's insane.
Wow.
It was a good movie.
This director,
you'll love Irreversible, though.
That's crazy.
But you'll stop at the 5-minute rape scene, you'll turn it off.
Yeah. Well, that was what I was saying. I was so sad when I was watching this woman cry that her son died from Jack in the Box. I was like, this is just bumming me the fuck out. I get it. The food's fucked up. The whole situation's fucked up. I don't really need to keep going here. It's just, it's like, what are you going to do, though? That's the big question. You know, the problem with us is, with everybody is, you're always doing something. You're busy. You're hungry. What are you going to do? do. There's a supermarket, but you don't have time
especially
to go
on the
there.
Road.
Yeah, especially.
You know what I mean? The Waffle House is open. You're like, okay, yeah. I have to go there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. The road gets creepy, yeah, as far as food choices go. I always bring vitamins with me, and I try to eat as much salad and stuff on the road as possible, but, yeah.
I don't understand how they don't have 24-hour restaurants in small towns.
Right.
If everything closes at 11, it's like you can't eat anything. You have to go to the Wal. I've been to Walmarts at like 3 in the morning, mm-hmm. just getting like fruit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Just surviving.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
It's insane.
The food, yeah. Yeah, if you go to small towns, there's no 24-hour food.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tricky thing. And you know, you're staying at the Holiday Inn, there's no room service either. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there.
Something we talked about a couple of weeks ago came true when we were talking about how people's jobs are getting taken away by robots and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I was at El Pollo Loco the other day, which is like a chicken, Mexican chicken place, and they had the order yourself kiosk up now where you sit there, menu screen, like taco, special instructions, no, you know, burrito, and then you pay for it, like kind of like a grocery store, and then they just call out your name and give you your food.
So but they cut out the person that
cut
takes
out the cashier.
Order.
And it's actually nicer. It was so nice because, you know, a lot of times you order, but you don't even think like, yeah, I would like extra tomatoes on this, but I don't want to.
How many times have you been in a fast food place and you talk, it's like, who? There was a girl on the Mad TV that had a really funny sketch about that. There was a girl on Mad TV. She's very pretty, and she had a very funny sketch about a girl who was the counter help, but she was always like...
Oh, Bon Cookie?
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That one, yeah. Angela.
Who does that?
Angela Johnson?
She's very funny.
Yeah,
right?
She's very funny, yeah.
That girl had a really funny Vietnamese nail salon.
Yeah, that
too,
one too.
Right?
Yeah, yeah,
doesn't
yeah,
that
yeah.
bit have like 10 million hits or something on YouTube?
Yeah, she's a sellout on the road.
From that bit.
Oh, she's killing it. Yeah, yeah.
And how many minutes does she have as an act?
22 minutes, 23
That's
minutes.
Circle. I had heard that she was a middle, and she was middling yeah. And crushing and filling places, and then the headliner would go on after him. Half the people would leave.
Well, Steve O's doing that now.
Really?
Yeah.
He's middling?
No, he was in New York. He hosted, but now he's closing, but he closes with 30. Which is fine.
Well, what you should do is host. What guys should do if they're not really... Bring a bunch of good comics on the road with yeah. you and host. You know, I watched Charlie Murphy develop an act from nowhere. You know, I met Charlie 2 years into his journey, you know, and I watched him as he was trying to put together his act. And
yeah.
Charlie went right to headlining, man.
Yeah, I know.
And it was fucking hard.
I bet.
Fucking
did you see that thing on the
hard.
Online of yeah. him getting booed? Oh,
get
my God.
Booed
so
off stage.
Awful.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that room.
Mm-hmm.
That room yeah. is so retarded.
What room is that?
Oh, no. What?
What?
Here's what I'm
Black
saying.
Black crowds?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What do you say?
That's not exactly what I didn't say that at all.
So what did you say?
It just that those room. Kind of rooms are
those
fucking
rooms.
Hard.
Black
difficult.
Crowds.
I retarded was the wrong word.
Black crowds.
Shock the Sundays.
No.
Black crowds do.
There's two
once
kinds.
Once you start failing, they're not rooting for you to get back on your feet.
What
you
I'm saying is that I go on the road, right? And I get right. black people to come to my show. And they're legitimate fans, okay?
Right.
And I love them dearly. That's not what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a cultural thing, you know what I mean? When you go to certain areas like South Philly or whatever, right? And you do a show and it's all black, right?
Right.
Even the lineup.
Right.
Right, and you had to perform. It's the most difficult situation ever.
Right.
For a guy like me.
Well, you know, it's a different kind of crowd. And I think the good thing about those crowds is that they don't let you be indulgent. And they want your jokes to come quick. They want to come quick.
Yeah.
They don't want to wait around.
They're also tonal, right? Your tone, you can't be monotone.
No.
You gotta. You know what I mean?
You
yeah. You know, yeah, and some excitement, attitude.
Yeah.
You know
tonal.
That's right. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You know what I mean? If yeah. Because now I'm like, I used to be more energetic. Now I just kind of talk like this because I want to be more myself.
Crowds?
And no, not only that, it's because. No, it's because it's pace.
Right.
You know, when I first started headlining, I wanted to do what I did as an opener, which is go out and gung ho get them. You know what I mean? As a headliner.
Right.
And then 15 minutes in, you're out.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just can't do that pace for 45 minutes.
Well,
right?
you got to, first of all, it's not fun for the audience either. You got to create a show.
That's
you know?
What I'm
it's
saying.
Like when you go to see a movie, it's not, you know, an opening gun scene that lasts for 90 minutes and then the thing shuts off. You're like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, so now I build, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
you have peaks and valleys. Right?
Yeah, but in black rooms, it's you can't do that. You
can't
black.
Do that?
What?
There's no peaking? You just keep hammering?
I just feel like you have to be like Earthquake and just hammer it away.
Well,
he's
you
hilarious.
Do what you got to do it. And how long does Earthquake do?
45.
That's
but
it.
he's like perfect.
45 sprinting uphill, shooting all the way.
Yeah, like it's not.
And throw
yeah,
your
hard.
Backpack back and
oh, God.
Throw and lie on your grass.
And then
grass.
Once you lose them, like in a white room, when you lose them,
you get them
you
back.
Think I'll get them back.
Right. There's
you
no getting black crowds back.
Yeah.
Wow. I want to try it. I want to try a black.
You will die. You will die up there, son. I did, you will get barbecue. I did. The most important thing with black rooms is economy of words, first of all, and a short attention span. You got to hammer them with bits.
I did a my black version of my set once at Flappers in Burbank, and it actually killed. It was like,
what do you mean the black version?
I just do it more like he said, instead of like doing your jokes normal. I kind of be like, I went to the store the other day to get a hat. My girlfriend got the same one. God. You know, kind of like
he's just starting out.
Wigger.
He's just starting out.
Oh, yeah. You know, Azee or whatever his name is.
Aziz Ansari. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like his whatever his character is. You know, it's kind of like that. But
kids,
it worked.
Just starting out. Yeah,
okay. It worked, though. That's what I'm saying.
He hears Phantom Laugh still.
First of all, I don't even know what Flappers is.
Flappers in Burbank.
Is it good?
Club.
Have you played it?
Never been there.
Yeah, I may never play there.
I heard it's good.
It's really nice.
I heard it's nice.
Brand new. You'd like it.
Yeah, I just don't do well in those kind of things.
What do you mean you don't do well?
I don't do good in haha.
The haha cafe?
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I don't know what it is. It's just because I think what it is because it's free.
Oh, the audience is not paying to go there?
What I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that...
You're doing this free set?
No, that's not what I'm saying either. What I'm saying is that there's two types of audiences, I feel, okay? The one, that's why I don't comp when I do on the road, go on the road, because of the fact that if you comp, right, there's a general feeling of like, you know what I mean?
It's not a good show. Yeah.
That's not a good show.
You don't expect much.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But when you have people pay, right, people are respectful.
Yes.
You don't have as many hecklers, you know what I mean? And I'm fine. I don't care who comes. But the thing is that haha, right, they don't – not only do they not pay you, but you have to pay for your drinks.
Right.
Like, can I get a Red Bull? They go, $3 or whatever. I'm like, I'm playing here for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Already there's a sign. There's a feeling of disrespect. Now, I don't know what Flappers is like, but I just don't like that disrespect.
Flappers is a real club. It's nice.
I know what you're talking about, though.
There's
some fringe clubs that are used to dealing with open micers and doing shows.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
There's a disrespect.
You go and do a set there, they don't treat you differently. Like, well, here's a paid season.
I don't need much. All I need is this. Can I get a drink for free? Like a bottle of water, okay?
Right.
And you know, in town, of course, I'll do a million free shows. You know what I mean? Right. And be respectful.
Isn't it funny how places like that are just a little bit outside of the city and they're a different world?
It's a different world, yeah.
It's a different world. The crowd feels different.
You know,
when you do North Hollywood, do ha-ha.
You see races you've never seen before. Like, is that an Aztec Indian? You know what I mean? Or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I thought guys died off or something. you know, it's weird.
Where's your favorite club to work out at?
Seattle? Yeah.
The Comedy Underground?
No.
What place?
Parlor Live.
Parlor Live?
Have you heard
of that? No.
Parlor Live is a new club there, and it's attached to one of the Microsoft buildings.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's like, it's a nightlife. They have pool hall, dance club, comedy club in one
floor. How big is the comedy club?
It's huge. It's like, not huge, but 300. It's 300.
Really?
Right? And it's one of those places where I sell out.
Is it Seattle?
Yeah. It's like, it's a little outside of Seattle, but it's like 15 minutes from the city, right? And it's called Beaumont.
Okay.
Okay. And literally, it's clean. Like, the stage is nice. You know what I mean?
Right.
The green room is clean, brand new couches. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just a nice, nice environment.
Right.
You make a lot of money. You know what I mean?
And, Seattle?
And the kids, or the people that are in the audience, are nerdy. They make money.
Right.
Right. And they're just happy to be there. You know what I mean?
It's weird how parts of the country are not hit by the economy and other ones are.
That's one of them.
Yeah, when I was in West Palm, they were telling me that, no, we didn't really get hit by the economy.
I know, it's crazy.
Because it's all like retirees and old people with money. And I mean, I'm sure some people from West Palm are like, fuck you, we got hit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but the club was like, they really didn't suffer.
Like Kansas City, I went, they suffered, it feels like. There was a suffering.
That's the kind of place that would suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole thing is so strange because I don't understand the economy. So I'm always like, okay, well, I guess it's better now. Is it better now? Is it coming around?
It's not.
No?
Like my parents, for the last 35 years, owned their own clothing store. They had their own business. You know, it's called, at first it was called Fashion Girl. It's a clothing store for fat ethnic women.
Fashion Girl?
Yeah, Fashion Gal.
Fashion Gal.
Yeah. And so it's like catered to, it's like Lane Bryant, but for ethnics.
Okay.
Okay. And they did fine over the last 30 years. And as soon as the economy hit, I mean, they went bankrupt. You know what I mean? I had to pay for their mortgage. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
And they are destitute.
Man.
It is tough. They live in Phoenix. You know, it's tough for them. And they had to fire their whole staff. Now they work, and they're in their 70s.
Whoa. Yeah, where do they work now?
At the same place, at the store it's called Changes now. And they do shifts. Like, my mom will do the morning shift. My dad will come in. And there's literally a bottle of piss, like a jug of piss, because they don't have any employees, right? So my dad has to piss in a jug.
Oh my God!
Right?
Because
he can't leave the store.
Oh my God! You know what I mean? It's just, and he doesn't have a bathroom there.
No, it's in the mall, right? So he has to go to the mall, right?
God.
So it is sad.
What if he has to shit?
He just holds it.
What?
Well, unless it's a turtle head situation,
he could die.
He could die.
He should get a diaper.
So everyone go to what's it called again? What's the name?
Changes.
Everyone go to Changes.
It's in Arizona.
What part of Arizona?
Phoenix, like outside of like Chandler or something.
Fuck,
Mesa,
man.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's it's a really scary sad. Thing. Being an old person, you know, when your body's slowly starting to fade away and you're still laboring every day. And by the way, that takes years off your life. You know, getting up before you want to, working, doing things you don't want to do all day.
Yeah, but I told my dad, I go, Dad, you don't have to work. I will. How much do you? They need what? $2,500, $3,000 a month.
Right.
To get by, right? Maybe even less, right? I said, with the unemployment and then social security, retire, and I'll take that over the rest.
That's very generous.
And you know what my dad said?
What?
If I don't work, I die.
Wow.
Right? So I go, all right, keep working because I don't want him to die, you know?
Good call.
Yeah, but it's sad because he's still got that ethnic, that Asian work ethic.
Oh, man, that's
you know what I mean? That they have to work.
It's a trippy thing,
it's
dude.
Fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing, man, dealing with people's mortality and parents.
God.
And it's weird when you realize, and especially your parents get to a certain point in time, where you realize you probably have more information in your head about the way the world works than your parents do.
Because
your parents grew up in a totally different time.
And
you know, they weren't curious when they were young.
Yeah.
It's a strange thing, man.
It's actually kind of sad.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's going to be you someday, too, maybe. You think you'll have kids?
No.
Never?
No.
You going to get snipped? Go Doug Stanhope style?
No.
No? Just hope?
No, because I masturbate so much that what comes out is like Visine drops.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, bloop, bloop, and it's done.
That's it?
Yeah.
How many times a day are you masturbating?
I do now a couple of times. Maybe sometimes twice, once, maybe.
How often do you use the flashlight?
I haven't used it in 6 months.
Really? You just go use your hands instead?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Why?
Flashlight feels better.
Yeah, but then I have to heat the oil. And then I have to let it cool. Then I have to let it cool. Then I have to put the batteries in the bat. You know.
Speaking of sex, there's a story in the news today, and apparently it's a legit story. There's a man who's suing GlaxoSmithKline, the pharmaceutical company, and he's alleging that there's a drug that they gave him to treat Parkinson's disease that turned him into a gay sex and gambling addict. At 51 years old, the 51-year-old's lawyer says their client's behavior changed radically after he was first administered a drug in 2003 for the illness, which causes tremors, blah, blah, blah. The man is a married father of two, says he has attempted suicide 3 times, claims he became addicted to internet gambling, losing the family savings, and stealing to feed his habit. He also became a compulsive gay sex addict and began exposing himself on the internet and cross-dressing. This risky sexual behavior, the risky sexual encounters led to him being raped, his lawyer said. His behavior stopped when he stopped taking the drugs in 2005. By then, he had been demoted in his defense ministry job and is suffering from psychological trauma resulting from his addictions. So he just went on a gay sex gambling rampage.
That's not what happened, though.
No, but listen, man.
Yeah.
You're not right. It's not true. Because I put this up on Twitter, and a bunch of people who, you know, neuropsychologists and a bunch of different people who are qualified started sending me, like, I got like 6 or 7 tweets from people who either are studying it in school or actually doctors in the field, and they were saying that it's a dopamine agonist, I think that's the word, and that it does facilitate addiction, and it can interrupt your natural patterns of thinking.
No, I agree with that. All right, but what I'm saying is that it does. If you have an addiction of exposing yourself and doing gay sex,
right,
that's been hidden inside you for many years.
So you think this was just?
It's not out of the out of the blue.
What's not?
That I want to suck dick out of the blue.
Well, he's taking a crazy drug.
No, not out of the blue.
Maybe it seemed more exciting to him. Maybe it never, like regular sex, he's 51 years old. Maybe regular sex was, God, I'm so tired of getting laid. I mean, think about another 11 years for you. You're 40 years old.
Yeah,
think about another 11 years from now. Okay. You're like, God, I'm so tired of pussy. It's so boring. And then somebody gives you the drug. You're like, why don't you go suck some cock? And you're like, why don't I suck some cock? Why don't you dress up like a girl? Yeah, man,
I've heard this phenomenon when people are so jaded with sex, like rock stars or whatever, that it, you know what I mean? They get so tired of it, it just turns into dick. You know what I mean?
Well,
I don't agree with that either. I think dick was always in the, you know, in the picture.
Yeah, but I think everybody's got their own little story about how, I mean, there was a lot of bisexuality going on in the 70s, like according to many people, Mick Jagger and David Bowie.
Yeah, Lou Reed, like, all that stuff. Reed. Yeah.
But I think a lot of that was like, you know, probably one crafty gay dude talked all these other dudes into, you know, it's just cool, man. It's hip. And plus, they're all doing acid and experimenting with their consciousness. And, you know, it is like one of those lost taboos. It's like, okay, well, let's stop and look into why is gay sex such a massive
taboo. I agree
taboo.
With this, okay? If you're fucked up, mm-hmm. like you're faded, you're drinking, you're almost in a blackout drunk, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you're with David Bowie and you're a big rock star, and David Bowie pulls out his penis, right? He's like, suck it. You know what I mean?
Why do you have to be blacked out drunk? What I was just saying was maybe they're experimenting with different ways of looking at the world. You know, maybe they're being an artist and being like a rock star, maybe. Being a creative person. There's a lot of people that are creative people that are willing to take weird chances and do weird things
Maybe. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
So what are you saying?
You know what I mean? I have gay people that represent me.
Oh, don't go there. Stop that.
But what I'm saying,
I'm not racist. I have black friends.
You're right. But what I'm saying is this. I don't have anything
I know against that, but the lifestyle. But you're convinced, what I'm, though, no, that what this I'm wasn't because of the that, pills.
What I'm saying is just that, what's this guy's name? Ted.
Ted Haggard.
Haggard, right? Mm-hmm. Just out of the blue, you know what I mean?
He's never said out of the blue that he said he was gay the whole time. He never said that. He's been doing interviews recently where he says he was bisexual.
The whole time.
Yeah, he said what his issue is. He said,
but that's what I'm saying, though.
But that's not what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that it was hidden.
Okay, but this guy that never had any sexual encounters.
He hid it.
Yeah, that's what I would think. That what Bobby's saying is probably true, too. Like, he probably had it in the back of his head.
Yeah,
he had thoughts
and because
of
socialization, right? He just refuses to address it. And all of a sudden, I agree that the pill did something to open his mind up, maybe. Right. You know what I mean? But I feel like that instinct is there.
Yeah,
That is a possibility, but why would you want to decide one way or another without being that guy? Why would you even make a judgment call? Like, how the fuck could you know what caused this guy to do gay sex? And once you go into his past and interview him and, you know, find out, like, have you ever been attracted to guys? Did you ever have a wrestling match where you got a boner? Like, unless you don't, why even? I mean, it is possible. If attraction and all these different things are really neurochemical reactions that we have inside of our mind or inside of our brain, if we figure out a way to stimulate certain parts of the brain think about what we can do as far as like antidepressants and all sorts of things that affect mood and neurochemistry. Mm. What if they can give you something that makes you attracted to the opposite sex? What if they can give you something that you're gay and all of a sudden you like girls? Yeah. Or give you something where you're heterosexual? They were trying to do that in Iraq. They were trying to come out with a bomb. The CIA was. They actually put research and development into this, a gay bomb, a bomb that they would detonate, and it would be some sort of a chemical agent that would go into the air, and it would make all these soldiers become rabidly attracted to each other, and they would lose morale. They would just start fucking.
But I even think I'm the strongest of ecstasy. I never wanted to suck a dick.
Ecstasy. We're not talking about ecstasy.
I know, but it doesn't seem like any drug would switch that. It has a very specific
affection reaction, but it doesn't make you sexually attracted to someone. Mm. It is possible that there could be something as strong as what ecstasy does for you in terms of affection and sensitivity and feeling for things and a loosening of insecurities. It's very possible that something else could do it in another way that all of a sudden makes you gay. I mean, if you talk to a gay guy, like we have gay friends, and not you and I together.
We have gay friends. Oh, we go to the gym and go see Bobby Lee.
Hey, Bobby. We go watch musicals. When you talk to them, they never feel like there's something wrong with them. You know, they feel pretty fucking normal. So what is it that separates, I can't say his name, but the dude who's our friend, who's the piano guy from the store.
Yeah.
Great fucking guy. Great guy. Okay? So what is the difference between him and us? Well, the only difference is that he's attracted to men. Well, where is the connection in his mind? Is it a chemical door that gets opened? Is it a chromosome thing? Is it a genetic thing? Mm. What is it? You know?
Yeah.
You know, there's a theory about homosexuality, and one of the more interesting theories was they did a study in Rome, and what they found is that when women are promiscuous, especially like habitually promiscuous, women that constantly cheat on their men, they have a disproportionate amount of gay sons. And they believe that what it is a variation of the X chromosome. You know, women have double X chromosome, men have XY. And they believe that there is a variation of the X chromosome among certain
certain women that makes them incredibly attracted to men to the point where literally they can't even fucking control themselves. Like their number one obsession is getting new dick. They just want to get new dick all the time. Wow. And this gets transferred into their sons. And their son all of a sudden has this incredible attraction to men.
Wow.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Because haven't you met girls like that?
No.
You never met a girl that's just a fucking freak?
We've all
met girls that just seemingly this poor girl's broken and she just can't help fucking everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
But the only way to truly find out if this is true is for me to take that pill, and I'm not going to do it.
It doesn't exist. But I mean, this drug exists. But
no, this
by
drug.
The way,
this one.
But here's the thing. It's one guy, okay?
Yeah,
how many people took it and it just cured their Parkinson's? You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying, though, Joe.
No, but that doesn't mean anything.
This
look,
guy's gay.
No. Yeah. Listen, it doesn't mean anything because look, how many people are addicted to peanut butter? I'm not. I just had peanut butter and I'm fine.
But
if you give peanut butter to a guy who's addicted to peanut butter, he fucking dies. His throat closes up. He can't get any air in. There's a biological variation in human beings.
Yeah.
And you have to take that into account. What if for this guy's, for whatever weird tweak, he takes this fucking drug and goes on a gay sex rampage? You might be totally right.
He
might be a freak and he might be just a loser. And he lost all his money and that's why he's suing this company.
So okay, how about this? How about this? Can I say
could
this?
Be. Could be.
How about
that's
this?
What my money is.
I take the pill. Right. Let's say I'm that guy, right? I take the pill. Just I go on a gay
get on the
sex.
Pill, Brian. Get on the pill.
I go on a gay sex rampage, right?
Right.
How about me just not taking it ever again?
Well, it wasn't just that.
I'm not taking the pill again.
This guy also lost all his money.
Yeah, on gambling. I think that's he hit his bottom. Don't take the pill anymore.
Right. Well, you're a 12-step guy, so you understand about all that shit where people are in denial about that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a weird thing when you're around people that are in denial about what caused their issues, right?
Yeah, and there's also, I know that doing drugs and that kind of behavior isn't the root of the problem. The root of the problem is something else. Those are just symptoms.
Right, but if a guy is or has been shown to be a fine, upstanding human being, I mean, I don't know this guy's history. That's the problem with having this stupid argument or this conversation, rather.
When you lose that much money in gambling, immediately that's a red flag to me. Like, okay, this guy's probably lying.
But it wasn't until after he became got on the medication that he started gambling. Apparently, he didn't gamble before that.
Yeah, gamblers are often, you know, they tell the truth.
I don't have a problem with gambling, but I easily could have. I was terrified of it when I used to play pool and I used to be around a lot of gambling addicts.
Yeah.
I was around a lot of them, guys who were, and I used to see them and I would say, this is scary shit. Whatever you do, obviously gambling is fun and it becomes too much of an addiction to these people. Whatever it is, don't do whatever the fuck they're doing.
Can I tell you just what happened with gambling? I was in the Fort Lauderdale Improv.
Yeah.
And I put $5 in the machine, okay? And I pressed, it was a nickel.
It was
a
Hard Rock casino?
The Hard Rock, right? And all of a sudden, the thing just went crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Just crazy. I don't even know what happened.
Right.
I got a combination of something, right? Then all of a sudden, like, people are surrounding me.
Right.
Like, people are in back of me. I'm like, what the fuck?
Who are these people?
Just other people watching. I hit a jackpot.
So you worried someone's going to jack your jackpot?
No, I'm just sitting there going, oh, and I got a smile, I'm turning around. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, this is great, right? And then the lady comes, because it says, and I press, you know, because you get a ticket.
Right.
They go, you can't get a ticket because, you know, it's so much money that they're going to have to give it to you, right?
Nice.
Lady comes up to me and she goes, congratulations. I go, thank you. And they go, so can I just see your ID? I give her the ID and she goes, I can't give you the money. I go, why? She goes, your license is 2 months expired, which is it is. So I go, no, I want my fucking money. They go, we can't give it to you. I went to the top Indian chief, like a council member, and I argued with them. 2 hours later, I'm in an office. You know, I go, I played the improv here. I was packed every room. They come here to gamble, right?
Right.
Mine's 2 months expired. You can't give me a fucking, my not that I need the money. It's just the idea that I've never, it was only $2,000, okay? But the idea that I won a jackpot and they won't give me the money.
That seems like it's against the law.
No, it's an IRS thing. You need a valid
driver's
license.
Yeah, but could you just said, all right, hold my money, I'll go get my license renewed and be back tomorrow?
No, I live in LA, dude.
Right.
Yeah, it costs you $2,000.
But wouldn't casinos like hold your
shit? No. I got, you know, like I gave them my number. I go work it out with their counsel. They have to go back. You know what I mean? And they never called me. I couldn't get my money. And I was so fucking mad. I'm still upset about it now, kind of.
Well, they had an opportunity to fuck you, and they took it. That's what it is.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's so fucked up.
It is fucked up. That does not seem legal.
Casinos aren't in the paying out business. They're in the gambling and losing business.
I know, but here's the point, though. I go there every year. They know me. Like, I go to the front the desk.
Right.
Everyone loves me. Bobby's back. You know what I mean? Like, I know that people come gamble at the casino, right, after my shows, right? I feel like I've provided a service for this fucking. They can't fucking, you know what I mean? One little clause. Well, look through it.
Well, now you understand the true nature of your relationship with them. They don't give a fuck about you. That's the nature of the relationship, by the way, with fucking virtually every casino and player. You know, the bottom line is the player is a mark. You know, yeah. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
And the mark, it's just like, you know, you let him win a little bit.
Yeah.
Let him get a little bit. Make him feel like he's got something going on. You comp him a room. Hey, you want a nice meal?
Yeah.
Listen, even though we lost some money, we had a nice meal. We went to see a show. You know, they comped us. We went to see the Lion King.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, man.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is those fucking, like, go to these gigantic places like the Venetian or the Bellagio.
Huge, yeah.
Fucking huge fountains and shit. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for that?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
Yeah, you're paying for that by losing. You know?
Right. But what I'm saying is that if I would have won like a bigger jackpot, like $2 million, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
Like I would have physically assaulted an American Indian.
Holy fuck, man.
I would litter for the rest of my life, make them cry.
I would have freaked out about that. I would have.
Yeah, that's an issue, man.
I would still be fighting that whole thing.
Yeah.
To get your 2000.
Well, no, I lived through it, but it, yeah,
no. What you should start doing is doing a bit about it on stage.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bit.
Yeah.
There's a funny bit in there.
There's something in there. Yeah.
Come on, man. There's a funny bit in that. You know, because
but I'm so angry.
They can take your fucking money. They had no problem with you gambling.
Yeah.
So you're risking your money, but you can't get a return.
You know what you should have done? You should have got. Oh, wait, did it print out a $2,000 ticket?
Or no, you know, because here's what it is. Okay, if you win, you know, at a slot machine,
right.
Now you get a ticket. Right. Anything other over $1,200,
right?
That you win is considered a jackpot.
Okay, then they have to come out.
So then they have to fill out IRS forms and this and that. Right. If I just would have made less than $800 less,
right.
Then I would have been able to take my money. Yes. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
And then you know what I would have? I mean, I would have had a good time. I would have spent it at the casino anyway. They would have had it in the end.
Right.
You know, then I would have gone to a higher machine. You know what I mean? You know, I just wanted a good time.
Or put it back in the community.
Yeah, something like that.
I always want to say it like that.
Yeah.
The community.
It's fucked up.
What is it about black people that they say community like that?
They say a lot of things literally like that.
Yeah, but that's a big one. Community.
Community.
Put it back in the community.
Yeah, they say that, yeah.
What
happened?
So there's no way you can get this money back. This is gone. You're writing it off as a loss. You got to do a bit about this, bro.
Yeah, I will. But the thing is that I called Joel.
How could he help you?
Well, he owns the Improv, right? He has a relationship with the Hard Rock.
What did they say?
Joel said, there's nothing I can do. You know what I mean? And I'm like, but it doesn't make any sense because they know me.
Doesn't matter. They don't give a fuck about you. Now you at least know what the deal is.
Oh, I know what the deal is now. Yeah. It's
well,
a
you know,
lesson.
It's also probably a rule that they can't circumvent. I mean, who you're talking to is probably a guy who's going by corporate bylines, and this is the rules. Person doesn't have a driver's license. I mean, even though they know you,
yeah.
They have to kind of assume, like, who the fuck, you know, if you can't write down a valid driver's license in the receipt so that you can get taxed on it.
It just seems like they should be able to hold it for you. Like, it seems like, yeah, you won, you have credit, $2,000 credit, you come back here with your license, we'll give you the fucking money. But until then, we're holding it for you.
Yeah.
It seems like that's what casinos do anyways, because they have, you know, you go there, like, you're Jay-Z and stuff like that, you have, like, a, you know, like, almost a bank account with these people.
You're,
you know?
Jay-Z.
Do you know what I did, though?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I did?
I bet you can get your $2,000.
No, I googled my name.
You googled your name
in front of them like an asshole.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I go, listen, I play this place. I'm a headliner,
you
right?
Googled your name.
Yeah,
in front
and there was
of
a computer there.
At the
and
computer.
I googled right, and right. It went to my Wikipedia page.
Right.
I went to my Wikipedia. I go, here's my picture. Here's my birthday. You know what I mean? I'm almost 40.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I had no idea what I don't know what else to do.
Right.
Right. But it was there's we don't give a shit.
They didn't care.
No.
Sounds like a scam to me.
And this is who's telling you this? Who's the person saying
some American Indian with beads in his hair, you know what I mean?
And he was upset at you or?
No, he was just basically just really cool about it and just like, I know who you are. I'm so sorry. These are the rules.
Well, I guess those are the rules. Here's the rules now. You got to write a bit about it.
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah.
You have to. Man.
I'm going to.
It's a $2,000 bit.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me so fucking mad.
That makes me mad.
I don't need the money. It's just the principle of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I did it.
Yeah, but it does make sense. I mean, it does make sense that they can't hook you up.
Kind of.
To me. Doesn't it?
Not to me.
No, it doesn't make sense because, Joe, if I work – I basically work for that casino.
Sort of. You work for Joel.
I work for Joel, but he has a relationship with them. And it's
sort
not like
of.
I don't play there every
there.
Week. You know what I mean?
He just sort of rents there, right?
He does rent a room. He rents the rooms there. But you understand what I'm saying. It's like in a sense I give them business.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you like going on the road? Do you dig it?
In some places, yes. Some of them are like, I want to kill myself.
For a long time, you didn't go on the
road. I refused
to
do it.
Yeah, because remember when we were back in, when I was doing the store, we would talk about it all the time. You weren't going on the road.
I refused to do it.
And then we were somewhere recently, like I think it was San Jose, and they were saying, yeah, Bobby Lee was just here, packed the place.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, damn, Bobby Lee's
on
the road
now. That's the only reason now I go, because when I used to go on the road before, no one would come. Right?
What changed that?
I don't know. Here's what it was. I would go to a market. Now what my thing is I go to a market first, and at first they don't really know me, or if they do, they don't know that I do stand up, right?
Right.
So I do a weekend for pretty much for free. They give you a guarantee, right?
Right.
And then the second time back, it's always better because I know that I deliver.
Right.
You know what I mean? That my show is good. You know what I mean?
And so the people that saw you, they come see you again.
They bring more people than the radio. I love radio.
When will you come back? Like if you say you do a gig, how long before you come back?
A year.
A year.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much of your material will be new in that year?
Maybe, and I'll be honest with you, not as much as maybe the next guy, but about 10, 15 minutes.
10, 15 minutes will be new in a year, really?
Yeah, I'm not that prolific.
Really?
But the thing is, here's the thing is that a lot of my stuff now is improvised. Like right. I have moments of just playing with the audience.
Yeah, a lot of that, right?
And also my thing is there's an element of crazy in my show where I usually go in the audience and I do crazy shit. You know,
like what?
Like, you know, like if somebody will get up to go to the bathroom, I'll chase them out of the room and follow them to the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah. And then I'll, while the audience is, they love it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I'll pull my pants down. And I'll be in my underwear and I'll follow them into the bathroom.
Have you ever gotten in trouble for pulling your pants down?
Yeah. I did this one thing where I wanted to give a guy a lap dance. So he came on stage and, you know, and the music was playing and I got.
Were you on Parkinson's medication?
No. And I got naked and I had a sack come out and you can tell that this guy was extremely homophobic.
Really?
Right. So the music's playing and I jump on top of him.
Oh, jeez.
While he's sitting on the stool. Right. And he literally picked my body and threw me on the ground.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I hit the ground, you know what I mean, on my back.
Right.
And I got knocked unconscious for like a split second where, you know, you hear. Like little stars.
Did you hit your head?
No, but I heard.
So what hit that made you see stars like that?
I hit my back and my head, maybe a little bit.
Maybe your head a little?
Yeah, but I also took the wind out of my body.
Right, okay.
Right, so I hear.
Right, you got jacked.
Yeah, I got jacked and I jumped on top of him again.
You jumped on him again?
Yeah.
Because, and what did he do then?
Because nothing.
He just took it?
Because the thing got a laugh. When he threw me off of me.
It got a laugh.
It got a laugh.
So he enjoyed it.
And I stood back out, and I looked in his eyes.
Right.
And he kind of went, he kind of liked the laugh.
Right.
So I did it again, right? Because he got addicted to the laugh, right? Because at first it was hatred.
Right.
Like, get off me, gook, you know, kind of thing.
Whoa.
Well, I don't know. That's what he said. You know what I mean? But
that's what he said.
But in the eyes, I can tell that it was like, get off me, gook. So then when I fell down, we connected. I'm like, okay, I can do it again.
Wow.
Like a sense, you know?
Right,
what I mean?
A sense.
That's the worst thing that's around.
That's a weird thing, right? When you're ad-libbing with someone, you don't know exactly where this is going to go.
That's exciting.
You know? It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, it's also, too, you and I both came up in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And the store, I mean, we've talked about this so many times in the podcast, the store, for all its terrible qualities, the best thing about it is the fact that no one was paying attention. Ever. There's no crowd control. There's no one.
It's great.
The comics are forced to take care of audiences themselves. And sometimes you just deal with incredibly hostile audiences.
Insane. Yeah.
I've never worked at a club consistently where there's more insane shit happening.
And people say, I hear other comics go, yeah, this tough room is tough. And I go, you don't know nothing.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even know. If they haven't worked the store, like, there's so many people that they go, yeah, that place is evil. I don't do this store. The store is evil. It is. Yes, it is. But
I wouldn't even say evil.
There's a quality of evil to it. I think that quality is because of the fact that it's Ciro's nightclub, the fact that it was Bugsy Siegel's place. You can't get past the fact that people were murdered in that place.
Yeah, but it also has to do with the color of the building.
Yeah.
I really believe. You know how they say you can't paint your walls in your bedroom red, like blood red, because it's psychologically it's not good for you. Do you know that?
It makes you angry.
It makes you angry. Like silver, too. I try to paint my room silver once, and they go, it's not, because you'll feel like you're trapped in a, you know what I mean?
Spaceship.
I feel like black, you know, like in a cage. Black, I don't know what it does.
I was thinking of painting these walls black.
No, don't.
Do you think it'd be okay for a podcast?
I would never paint the walls black.
See, really? This is the color what walls is, but these are neutral colors.
Yeah.
These are nice.
It's relaxing.
I feel very good right now.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, I feel like this is the color of.
I'm going to leave it here just for you, bro.
Like coffee.
It took so long to get you on the podcast. I'm going to leave these things.
And the reason why that was the case, right?
Oh, no, I know.
It was because I just was, things going on, you know.
Right. Dude, it's just, I'm as flaky as the next guy.
But the store, why don't you come back?
Come back where?
The store.
Oh, never. I can't.
Why?
Because I like the improv better. And there's no negativity there. The improv, everyone's so super courteous. The staff there are so friendly and thankful and kind. For years, you dealt with at the store, them pretending that the store was the star and you were lucky to work there. You were lucky to help out. No matter what you did, you could never do enough.
But there was an energy when you were there.
I bring it everywhere else.
They have pizza, I know, but man. I'm saying that I'm – because I used to either go up before or after you in the studio. You know,
right.
It was hard to go up after you, but sometimes they would put me up after you. But there was still an energy in the OR, I swear to God, that's different than it is now. Not that we don't get an audience, but it's a different kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
Well, I was bringing my specific thoughts on comedy, my specific thoughts on life is let's have fun. Let's not take things so fucking seriously. Let's look at all this shit, but let's be nice to each other and let's have a good fucking time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why one of the reasons why whenever anything crazy would happen at the store, I would always make it a big point to buy everyone in the audience a drink.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I kicked somebody out?
Yeah, I
did that like a dozen times.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
I would kick people out and then I would spend thousands of dollars buying 300 people drinks, you know?
Yeah.
But that's
why did you leave in the first
because
place?
Because it's not Mitzi Shore's club anymore. See, the whole thing that happened was when the Mencia shit went down, I called Mitzi, who's the owner of the club.
Yeah.
And Mitzi and I have had a relationship way back to 1994 when I first met her, when I first came to Hollywood. And to me, she was the, you know, the queen of comedy, man. Comedy store was Mecca to me.
Yeah,
to me,
yeah.
It was more important, and this is not bullshit, to get passed as a paid regular at the store than it was the fact that I was on a sitcom in California.
Yeah.
I was on a sitcom, and I was like, acting sucks. You know, is a lot of money. I was making all this money, but I'm like, I'm a fucking paid regular at the store. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I was there. I mean, this is where Richard Pryor had started out, and David Letterman was there, and Kinison was there, and all these hicks had worked there for a while.
Yeah.
So to me, it was like all this history. So I mean, not only had I worked there for free, for all those years where I was on Fear Factor, they put my name up on the marquee. It would say, you know, Fear Factor's Joe Rogan. Packed the place. We would promote it on MySpace. And to me, it was just – it was a workout room. I would get to fuck around and stay sharp, do a long set each Friday and Saturday night. So when I would go on the road, I always had material. I could still do specials and still do Fear Factor at the same time. So it was a perfect situation for me. And I could help the store. I worked for free. And as a matter of fact, even money that they owed me from years ago, I paid it back in the form of a tax-free donation.
Yeah.
And then I paid for the whole sound system in the place.
Yeah, you did.
I took out the speakers. I put in, you know, a CDR burner and a fucking DAT player and new microphones and new cords, the whole deal, right? And then when this whole thing happened with Mencia, which they knew for the longest time what he was doing. Everybody knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But they were making money off of it, so they turned a blind eye towards comedy. And what I've always said was that if you're in the business, if you're an agent or if you're a manager or if you're a club owner, you're selling art. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And when you got one person who's stealing the art of the people that you're selling – and then selling it again.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. It's like he's cannibalizing.
You have
to put a foot down and stop that.
Yeah.
And if you don't, if you say crazy shit like, well, you know, it's business and he's making a lot of money, well, then you clearly are not on the side of the art form that you actually make your living selling.
Right.
So when all this shit went down, I called Mitzi up and to let her know that, you know, Brian made this crazy fucking video and it's about to go out and it's ugly. And I told her, I go, the guy's a problem. We've had problems with him for years and we're going to put this video out. She goes, okay, well, just keep away from him. Just don't get crazy. I go, man, Mitzi, I'm never going to hurt him. I go, I'm not going to do anything crazy. She goes, okay, do you want to go up tonight? I go, yeah. She goes, what time?
I go,
whenever you want to put me up. She goes, okay, 10 o'clock. All right, thank you, Mitzi. I love you. I love you, too. That was the last word I ever spoke to her, okay? I get off the phone with her. Tommy calls me an hour later and tells me I'm banned.
So why?
I go, what are you talking about? I go, I just talked to Mitzi. And this stuttering cocksucker's like, Mitzi's confused. Mitzi doesn't know the facts. To me, it was very clear that there was like some situation where Mitzi was no longer making the decisions. It was no longer her club. So there was some other people, whoever the fuck they are. Tommy was at the mouthpiece of whoever the fuck was making the decision. And clearly, they had made a decision to go and have Mencia headline that weekend and make a big deal out of it. And he was on the radio. It was like for him to try to save face and then have me banned. And so I said, I'm never coming back. I'll tell you this right now. This is it. I'm never coming back. And so that was years ago, and I've never come back. But it was the best thing for me because after I left there and then I started working out at the Improv, I'm like, God, it's so friendly here.
The
vibe is so much better.
Yeah.
Like everyone's happy there. The managers are happy. The comics are all – it's a cool bar area where everybody hangs out.
Yeah.
And then I started doing Sal's and more recently and just –
you know what, man? I just realized that there's comedy clubs out there that appreciate comics. And yeah. Those are the only people that you should hang out with. I'm thankful for my time at the store. I learned a lot there. I learned a lot about, you know, hecklers and dealing bullshit. And I learned a lot about – I just learned a lot about the business from this whole thing that happened, from yeah. getting fucked over.
Yeah.
So for me, it was the best thing. Well, my act got better.
It's Tommy didn't go to anybody, by the way.
You think it was all him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy and I, whatever. I mean, I'm a regular there. I get spots anytime I want to. And Tommy's a friend. I've never called him off for the job. I call him for spots. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I know that he makes decisions.
I'm sure he does, but not that one. I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe
or
that
Or this happened. He went to Mitzi and no, he...
He didn't go to Mitzi. He didn't talk to her at all. I know for a fact.
So who,
because
who
when he talked to somebody else, whoever the fuck it was, whether it's Paulie or Peter or whoever the fuck is running.
Maybe Peter.
Whoever the fuck it is. Yeah. It might have been Peter. I don't know who it is. I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't ask. I didn't care.
And then ever since then, have they called you?
No. Oh, he sent me one ridiculous letter. I saved it. It's hilarious. The most one-sided fucking letter ever, talking about, you know, don't destroy the store, build it up. And like, you cunts. I worked there for free for fucking years.
Yeah.
And then they would always say, like, everybody works for free. No, not that. Everybody doesn't do what I did. Yeah. Everybody doesn't put their name in the marquee and pump it up on MySpace.
Let me tell you, La Jolla. I'm going to tell you about La Jolla. You know, I started in that room, right? I go there 6 years ago. I haven't played there in 6 years.
Right.
Okay. 6 years ago, I call them, the La Jolla. I go, can I go up? Because I'm going to go down and visit a friend.
Right.
They're like, yeah, sure. So I drive down there. I show up at the club, and the manager goes, you can't go up. In La Jolla. And I go, why? He goes, well, it's an all-girls show. And they're from L.A., and they don't want to put you up. I go, who is it? They go, Lisa Sunstedt. People I've never even heard of.
Right.
Right? So I just drove down here. They said I could go up. I'm from this club. I fucking built that stage, literally. Me and Freddie Soto, when they gutted the place.
You hammered and nailed
it. Yeah, we hammered in nails and shit like that. So fuck you. I'm going up. Right. You're not going up. I go, I'll go up last.
Right.
No. I go, I'm up. I'll never play here again. He goes,
good
fine.
For you.
He goes, fine. I haven't played it since.
Wow.
You know, man, that's a totally,
disrespect.
That's a totally different situation, and I totally see your side of it. I totally do. And the girls, if they really wanted to, you know, to do their show and then have you go on last, have you go on afterwards, you know?
That's what I ask. I go, I'll wait. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean?
Some people don't like that, though. They think that you're going to show them up, you know?
Especially them up. There was 40 people show. There, Joe. It wasn't doesn't like matter. If it was sold out, you know what I mean?
It doesn't matter to them. Those 40 people are there to see them, and if they do mediocre, they know you're going to crush, and you go on after them, so yeah. It's like
you know. Let me tell you something, dude. It's like I'm from that room, right?
Right.
And I started. Remember Fred Burns?
Sure.
Yeah, back Fred. When Fred was running it.
What's did Fred die?
He died.
What happened?
He had spinal bifida.
Yeah.
And his parents were still alive, and they took him on a cruise, like a cruise to go to the Bahamas. I don't know where they went, right? And they told Fred one night, they go, Fred, we'll meet you down here at 8 for breakfast. And Fred Burns goes, all right, you know. And he never showed up to breakfast, and they opened up his room, and he was dead.
Wow, just failure.
Yeah, failure.
Heart failure, yeah. Body failure, whatever it was.
It was awful.
He was an interesting guy. He got fired, right, for something.
Yeah. No, nothing.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
But the family's crazy, man. I mean, look, I got no ill feelings for the store. I think it's one of the most interesting clubs in the country. Mm-hmm. And I think I learned a lot doing stand-up there. But the whole point of the whole situation, the whole point of the whole Mencia altercation was supposedly to create a better environment to stop someone who's victimizing other comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And when the club supports that, you can't support the club anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if the club supports that, it wasn't a gray area. Everybody knew what was going on.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody complained for years and years. So mm-hmm. the decision they made was like the worst possible decision. So there's no way I could go back there.
Yeah. I mean, it just sucks the fact that, like, you know, like Bill Burr will show up, and if Mencia's there, he won't go up. You know what I mean? Those little things, you know what I mean, that fuck up. I love the store. You know, it's like home.
You could go up right in front of Mencia now. It doesn't matter now. He's toothless. Now he's just, he's got no claws.
Well,
it's all over.
It's so sad.
Did you see the I Am Comic, what he said in that movie?
No.
You got to see that. That will open your mind or open your eyes.
I just did a benefit with him a month ago. You know what I mean? For the police force.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I all the long as I've known Carlos, he's never did drugs or drank. That was a big thing. I don't need it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Natural high.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, he's smoking pot. You know what I mean?
That'll probably help him.
Yeah, I think
maybe.
Maybe. But he's
maybe
also drinking.
But he's also drinking.
Yeah, he's also
he's
drinking.
Just, he's just. I can just tell he's sad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's karma, man.
And as a friend,
you can't victimize
people. And as
people.
A friend, you know, you watch it, and it's just.
I always try to play Call of Duty with him on Xbox because I feel bad. I always send him a friend.
You feel bad, so you want to kill him?
Yeah.
Fuck up. Listen, man, the positive aspects of working at the store were so true. And I mean, I know what you say.
I just think you should just do it
there.
One night or something.
No,
a week.
I can't do it. It'll never be the same again.
How do you know?
Because it'll never be what it used to be. What it used to be was a lot of fun. It was used to be there was a long time where I was at the store where the store felt like it did not have the environment that I envisioned. I always envisioned it being, like I said, comedy mecca. I always envisioned there's all these great comics are going to perform there, and there's this great environment. And then for a long time when I was there in like the early 90s, you know, wasn't like that. It was shit.
Can I say, I'm going to defend it in a sense, okay? Since you left, it has changed, okay? In this sense, okay? We're getting a lot more New York guys on the list,
right?
All right? So you have Bill Burr, Davidoff, you know, all these New York guys that have moved here, okay?
Right. Sarah Silverman was there.
And the lineups, like the other night, who was it? Rock and Chappelle, did they go up? But they showed up, right? Yeah. It's a different New York vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is this, okay? From 2 years ago that you were there, Carlos never.
It's not Carlos, man.
Yeah, but
it's
the
people who run the club.
I know, it's Tommy.
Whoever's running the club is the same people running the club.
I know.
Tommy said some stupid shit to Brian just the other day when he went there, and he called me a fag. Tommy's retarded. He's a ding-dong.
I know.
That dude was always going to be what he is, you know?
I know. It's
there's not this what a comedy store is an idea, okay? The idea is that there's this mecca of comedy where everybody's hanging out.
Yeah.
All this crazy, be like that back porch area.
Yeah.
The back parking lot. How much fucking fun did we have back there? So much craziness and hilarity.
The greatest moments of my life have been back there.
Hilarious moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Just always, everybody was doing something funny. Joey Diaz has got his fucking pants down.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy.
There's always something.
Yeah,
it's just chaos. And then there's always crazy people coming back there and hanging out with us. And you don't even know who the fuck they are. And who's this guy? This guy's nuts. And he thinks he's an angel. And this
I got dressed up as Jesus that hangs out there. I got Jesus.
Yeah, the guy with the cross that walks down Sunset with his fucking cross.
And there's a guy that looked like Colonel Sanders. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah, that guy's.
I love it when like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. And Jesus and him together are always the best combo.
And they're getting an argument. You're like, what are they fighting about?
Yeah.
The Lord or chicken?
Who's crazier?
Yeah.
It's that place is awesome, you know. But the idea of what the comedy store is, you bring that everywhere with you, man. I bring that everywhere on the road. I bring that everywhere where I do stand up. Sal's is a perfect example.
What is Sal's
Comedy Hole? Is this new place that opened up on Melrose? It's a guy from New York. He had a place on La Brea for a while, but they had like a liquor license issue, and now he reopened a new place. Fucking guy is great. He's got open mics like almost every night. Super supportive of comedians. Just wants people to come down. He's always trying to feed you, give you drinks, and he's super consistently nice. Just
a
nice guy who loves comedy, and he's running. He's trying to make a good comedy club.
Okay.
And because of that, comics are flocking to this place. Diaz does it all the time. Ari does it. Brian does it all the time.
Really?
Tonight his show will have at least 50, 60 comics wanting to go up at their 8 o'clock show tonight.
Really? Yes. Do I have to showcase to become a regular?
No.
Or do you
Just show up, or I'll call them. Yeah, Brian will call them. You don't have to do anything, and they'll just hook you up, man.
Yeah.
You go up, and he'll give you a door deal. You can pack the place.
Yeah.
It's super sweet.
That's why I just need a new room, maybe.
When you go to the Improv and you go to places like Sal's, you realize, okay, well, there's places that don't have this crazy attitude that the place is the star. You know, like Tommy always had this attitude that the store is the star, and so did. Remember who's the guy who used to run it? Scott Day. Remember Scott Day?
I love Scott Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Duncan was people don't realize this.
Yeah, it was
Duncan
great.
Trussell, our boy,
was
the talent manager for the store for the longest time. And he had to quit because he didn't want to be on Pauly Shore's reality show.
They wanted to put him on the reality show.
And
that was so funny.
Duncan was like, I'd rather be broke.
What the Improv doesn't have, though, that the store has is that Wild West vibe.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? And that because it's like you can't go over the light.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's rules and this and that. So you can't run across the place in my underwear if I want to.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the store, there's always still that vibe of like anything can happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
so you
true.
Miss that. Right?
Yes, I do miss that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's everywhere that Joey Diaz is. When you bring Joey Diaz, That vibe comes with us on the road.
Yeah.
What I'm doing this weekend, by the way, Mandalay Bay Theater, it's almost sold out.
Oh,
so
that's great.
If you're going to get tickets, jump on that shit now. There's not that much left. And
plug my Houston.
It's Friday. We will. Don't totally. It's Friday night, February 4th, which is the night before the UFC. So, and it's at Mandalay Bay, which is where the UFC is. So it's going to be fucking crazy. If you want tickets, you got to jump on it now. And it's Joey Diaz and Ari Shaffir. So it's the full Death Squad roster. And Bobby Lee is going to be at the Houston Improv
that weekend too.
The same weekend, February 4th and 5th and 6th.
Yeah,
Sunday too.
Is it not this weekend? Is it this weekend?
This weekend coming up?
No, the next weekend after that.
Oh, yeah. Next weekend. So what is that? 11th?
Something like that, yeah.
7th. Let's find out exactly. Okay. So people don't get crazy.
Yeah.
We don't want
to. I came to see your show, and you were not there, Bobby Lee. You are my favorite.
Sorry. You're a droid. It's, did you just turn it on?
Yeah, just me. Sorry.
Are you happy with the droid? Happy with that purchase?
Check out this new camera.
The 11th, 12th, and 13th, Bobby Lee. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
And the Valentine's, which is Monday.
Oh, bam! You're doing Valentine's Day in Houston, which, by the way, I love Houston. I'm coming back. I fucking swear to God. I know I haven't been there in forever. We're trying to work out a deal. The problem was, I don't want to do any shows where people have to stand up. And I was doing the House of Blues, and the House of Blues, they wanted I think it's like 600 people standing and 600 people seated.
No, you don't do that.
I'm like, that's crazy. I did that in Vegas. I've done it in Vegas a bunch of times. And the problem, it becomes the bar just becomes filled with people talking.
Yeah.
There's way too many people there, and everyone's drunk, and no one knows how to fucking whisper, and it becomes chaos.
Yeah.
And so I went to see one of Doug Stanhope's shows where I had a stand, and I was like, no more standing. Because I watched as an audience member. I'm like, this isn't fun. It hurts your feet.
You have to walk back, so you can't get up
and shit. So I had a bunch of deals where I was supposed to do the Houston area, but every time that we ran into this fucking standing roadblock at theaters, we ran into it. So I'm just going to go to the comedy club. So the Improv, we're working it out. We're going to figure that shit out. So anyway, one more time. Friday night, February 4th, Mandalay Bay Theater, me, Joey Diaz, and Ari Shaffir. The next weekend, the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, and Valentine's Day, Bobby Lee will be at the Houston Improv. It's a very nice club,
too.
Right?
I haven't been there. It's brand new now.
It's sweet, right?
They just redid it? Yeah, they redid it, yeah.
Shakalaka, motherfucker. So that's the deal. And then the weekend after that, I'm at the Brea Improv. That's the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we're going to get Brian really high and make him go on stage every night so big that he forgets his material. That's one of my favorite new things to do. You got his trial by fire, son. You did good this weekend. He did real good this weekend. 7 minutes, you probably fucking killed for four. You got a solid 4 minutes of bits in there.
Yeah.
You're doing all right, kid.
You're fucking MC
out there hustling. No, he just goes up, does a guest spot. Yeah. He's fucking getting tossed to the lions. So that's the 18th, 19th, and 20th is the Brea Improv of February. And then the weekend after that, I'm in. You can go to JoeRogan.net and read all this shit yourself, bitches. This Thursday, I'm trying to get Ari and Joey. I'm not sure if I can. If not, maybe Brian Callen or someone else. But there'll definitely be a show on Thursday. We're figuring out who the fuck's going to do it. But Friday night is the show, so it'd be nice if we can. And then Thursday night, Ari has a show that I'm going to be on as well at the Improv. That's his storyteller show.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a great show.
Bobby Lee, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It was fun.
You're the fucking shit. You've been my friend for many years. And I love you.
It's totally fun.
I'm happy you're here. And thank you to The Fleshlight. Go to JoeRogan.net. Click on the link. Enter in the code name Rogan, and you get 15% off your masturbatory utensil. All right, bitches. You know I love you. I'll see you in a couple days. All right. Thanks for all the support. For everything, you motherfuckers. You make life a dream.
Bye.